The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the courting room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in Progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
EFW in Progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Nobody here was simply born to soak cork. Come on, Luigi.
I love a soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grave.
Eric Scalavino from down the way.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when you walked in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker. Yeah.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in Progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
I'll never forget this one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch here, Kevin in the booth. Paul and Andy should be by any second now. That's right. It is Jets week here at Gillette Stadium. Everybody is ready to bring in gangrene and take on the Jets. Get a little bit of payback from last year. I know winning this first game in the regular season isn't like winning in the playoffs, so it won't be, you know, a complete payback, but it would be nice to just show them that the Patriots are our boss, at least this time in the regular season. But we're going to talk about that. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about. The game that just happened in Oakland, the Patriots took on the Raiders. And I thought it was going to be a tough game. And I think had the Raiders not made some mistakes on their own, it would have been a real tough game. But up through the first half, you know, the game was in doubt. There was, you know, Patriots were having a little bit of problem. I think Brady was off. I don't think he was as on as he's been so far this season. I think that interceptions last week, is particularly the one to Gronkowski, kind of spooked him a little bit because he was a little high to Gronkowski's on a couple passes to Gronkowski. And I think he had that interception in his mind. He wanted to keep it in a place where only Gronkowski could catch it. And I think that affected his throw a little bit. So the game was in doubt, but I think, you know, although we come out of the game still worried about this defense, I think we have to say that the Patriots stepped up and met the challenge of a team that wanted to be physical. And I think the Patriots met that challenge, whether it was stopping the Raiders' run game or the Patriots running themselves. Great games by Ridley and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. I think the Patriots met that challenge. And, we talked about it last week about whether or not when a team calls another team finesse, if that's an insult. I believe it is. I believe the Patriots believed it was. And I think that, you know, the proverbial bulletin board had that on it, that Rolando McClain called us finesse. And that's no team in the NFL. I don't care how many times you pass the ball as opposed to run, want to be considered a finesse team, because that's all about just being tough. And every team wants to be considered tough. And I think that was the challenge that the Patriots put to themselves this week, whether or not it was true or not. You know, a lot of these bulletin board things, you know, are fabricated. But that's what they challenged each other. Wilfork came out after the game and said so. He said that, you know, Bill challenged them. They challenged each other. And, you know, they came out with the win. So I think you take, you know, you're looking for positives. You take that definitely as a positive that, you know, they still have some toughness in them. But as I said before, we come out of the game still worried about the defense. Andy and Paul are here. And, Andy, you're more worried than you ever were.
No.
Oh, it's changed since 9 o'clock this morning?
No, what I told you this morning is I feel even stronger in my opinion that this is the worst defense of the Bill Belichick era.
Right.
I may feel, you know, you got to walk before you can run. Well, you got to crawl a half an inch before you can learn to walk. They didn't get killed by Darren McFadden. That's a plus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, their little thing is you take away the big plays, and they did a pretty good job against the run. That's true. Now, I tend to not take away big plays because they count too.
Right.
But
if you take away Barry Sanders' big play in every game he had over 100 yards, he probably...
For example, this week, if you shut down the Jets' running game, which hasn't been good at all, but clearly they still want to run the ball and not make Sanchez throw it all the time, I feel better this week than I did last week that you will be able to just take away the run, and then it's going to come down to can you get any pressure on Sanchez? Can you? So I feel... Whatever the percentage is, 2% better about the defense, it's still way down by like 12% confidence,
right,
using a FanTab average confidence rating type measure. But I feel a little teeny bit better.
Paul, what'd you take out of the game? Positive and negative.
Positive, the balance on offense, I thought was a big key.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about, Andy and I did, you know, a Take Tuesday. We talked about Gronkowski blocking, you know, a guy making a huge impact in the game while making only one catch. I thought that was a big part of their success. It wasn't all Tom Brady this week. And I thought it was interesting to hear Belichick really compliment Brady for his decision-making in that game, checks at the line, getting them in the right calls and whatnot. I got to think that had a lot to do with checking two runs, because when have we ever seen the team go, you know, completely balanced on offense? I think it was 30 runs and 31 passes, counting the one sack. Yeah, so I think that's a huge positive to see Stephen Ridley, the guy that we've seen, you know, on the practice field during the summer. He had a good game. He's starting to feel his oats, I think, a little bit. Maybe a little bit of a committee developing with Green Ellis and Woodhead. On the negative side, the injuries continue to mount.
Yeah.
And Woodhead was one of them. Obviously, Gerard Mayo, the biggest one of them all. In the cornerback situation, the secondary, you know, the safeties are struggling. The ones that are playing are struggling badly. And the cornerbacks are all hurt, with the exception of McCourty, you know, is the only one that's not on the injury report on a consistent basis, and he hasn't played well. So that will be the negative for me.
The biggest negative for me, and I don't like to beat up on people, but Sergio Brown's terrible.
Yeah, you've been on this. You
terrible.
Really don't like, and people have been writing in about the angles that he takes. And
he made Brandon Merriweather look
position.
Like the most fundamentally sound player on the planet. I mean, he was terrible in coverage. He looked terrible on the interception, pass interference a week ago. And then he tried to hit people and just didn't hit him.
Tough day for Merriweather, by the way, this week.
Yeah, but
With Chicago.
That's expected.
Because a lot of people were sort of on the, oh, maybe he wasn't as bad as we thought campaign last week.
Who was on that?
Andy Gresh was one. Could the angle that they took on the Fred Jackson play that Josh Barrett took on that the game-winning play. Oh, you know, Brandon Merriweather makes that same bad play on that with the same bad angle, and he did it this week with the Bears against Carolina.
And it was Brown who got stiff-armed like I've never seen anyone get stiff-armed,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
My, did you see that when McFadden stiff-armed him? And it wasn't even a violent stiff-arm. It's like he softly softly blew him, but put a blow to his face and then just almost like choke-slammed him in wrestling, just forced him to the ground. I've never seen a man overpowered with one single hand like that. Sergio Brown can't play. He's a special teamer. He seems like a nice man. He can't be a rotational every down player, anything in that defense. He just can't. Sorry.
All right. Well, but I think
but the positives I think outweigh the negatives. Certainly, I thought
the first positive.
But they played a good, sound road game in a hostile environment against the team. I don't think it's a very good team, but it was a team that was really feeling good about itself and took that game. They put a lot into that game. Especially Seymour, the energy.
Who may have cost him the game by putting so much into the game.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. And that's part of why they're not a good team, is they couldn't control that. You know, it's like the open we have with Denzel Washington and Remember the Titans. You know, that's great. You got this, you got that, you got passion, you got anger. That's good too, but you got to learn how to control it.
Right.
And, you know, as Andy said, harness that.
Wasn't it just Andy who said it?
And
they had my boardroom mic, and as soon as I said it, who was it?
Solomon Wilcots.
Said
the same exact thing.
Parrots me like seventh level color man on broadcast.
Well, I mean, at the stadium, we had the windows open in the press box, and I could not hear myself think. It was loud.
It was very loud.
They were really, really
loud.
That was,
loud. You know what? That was a huge, huge play. That first, you know, delay on the delay of game. It was going to be third and long. I think it was a third and six or seven as it was, and it was going to be like a third and 11. And they were on their own, like, 12-yard line. They would have been after the penalty. The place was going crazy, and he just spins them down for no reason. That was a really, really big penalty. If they don't get the first down there, now they have a 3-0 lead. The place is going crazy. They got the ball back, and they got a chance to take a 2-score lead.
It's huge.
You buy the story that Brady was spinning, that he threw me down gently. I didn't think he deserved
Brady said he didn't. No, I put that in the quote board. He said he didn't. Brady said after the game he didn't think he deserved a penalty.
I don't buy it.
And he said that he can understand why he didn't hear the whistle. The only reason why he stopped was because he knew it was delay of game.
Right. Now, you didn't buy that Brady didn't think he should get a penalty?
Brady always thinks he should.
Well, he got up looking at the ref.
Well,
exactly.
Right.
You're being disingenuous. It's just because it's your ex-teammate Richard Seymour you said that. Any other player had done that, he would not have made that comment post-game.
He complained when a guy walked by him later in the game, too. He was looking for a goal.
Well, but to Brady's defense, he gets swatted in the helmet twice in one play, and they didn't call anything.
And then that's a play that I wasn't talking about.
No, this is
because there was a play he was looking at that he didn't get touched. He got knocked over, so he obviously got
this one he didn't get knocked over, but he got two hands to the helmet, which I don't know what Kyle Love did the week before because I didn't see it, but it couldn't have been.
But wait, take away one bad play. Was it a forceable blow? Because
yes.
They changed it.
The guy came, swatted him right down.
The one
on
I saw was
mat.
Not a forceable
I didn't
blow.
See
he
a
barely touched
blow
him. I don't think he even made contact.
The
with
Kyle
his.
Love one was wrong, but don't hold that. Now they got to be wrong every call.
No, I'm just saying if you call that, I don't believe they didn't call this because this was blatant.
Different crew.
This was blatant.
The Kyle Love one was bad. That was a bad call. Yeah.
Well, anyway,
there were a number of them in the game. Including a pass interference, which they decided. Oh wait, I didn't.
I've
it
never
was pass
seen that before.
I haven't.
See, I don't even care about the change.
I've
of
never
your
seen
mind.
An overturn of a penalty like
and it was,
that.
It was pass interference.
Yeah. If I end up looking at the replay and I'm like, well, you know what? They got their feet tangled up. I think that's great that one guy came over and said, no. I know what you saw, but this is what happened.
Right.
And that guy's right.
Right.
If you're going to overrule, you got to be right.
Sure.
Harrington had his hands all over him. It was a meaningless play. The game was over. You know. So if Oakland is complaining about that, that's worse than the Tuck rule. I mean, this had nothing to do with the game.
But
the
no
game
calls
was
are meaningless.
Over.
They should always try to get the call
I think the call
Every
was wrong,
call
but I'm saying it didn't
bad.
Impact the game, is my point.
Right.
It's not like Oakland lost because
Still
they didn't
a
get
bad
this
call.
Pass interference call.
I just have never remember a non-reviewable call being overturned like
right.
that.
Terrible. Know? They never announce it and then unannounce it.
Yeah.
Once you say it on a loudspeaker, you should stick to it.
Well, that's the part that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was the other call, the Welker catch on the sideline where the one guy says incomplete, and another guy comes over and he's nodding his head.
Right.
And he's giving him the signal. Wait a minute now. Yeah. I got the call here.
Yeah, that was
they just had a tough day.
Yeah.
But the guy who blew it
but
was
they
the
got
guy
that
who
one.
Was looking right at his feet. I
that
don't know
one,
how he
yeah.
blew it.
That one they got right because Welker was in
you
the
can't
call.
Say he wasn't looking where he's supposed to. He was doing what he's supposed to do. He just
but you know the people,
call.
You know the national people that hate the Patriots, those are the kinds of like plays that transpired during the course of the game.
The national people that hate them.
Well, do you ever listen seriously?
As opposed to the local ones in this room.
No, do you ever listen to the national pregame? How many little subtle shot like?
Oh yeah,
the open
Tom
rooting.
Jackson last night
the open
putting his monologue together for the Victor Cruz play when he did the San Diego play goes. He puts the ball down, Patriots recover, and the dynasty continues.
that,
which was a clear shot.
But that's what I'm talking about. There's no need for that. And there's a reason for it.
Oh, there's a need for it. It's entertaining.
There's a reason
Just
for it.
Just because you don't see the humor in it as a Patriots fan,
oh,
can.
I see the humor in it.
Because if I were
I
doing it for the Jets,
it.
I would find it funny.
But those are the kinds of things that happen that the national guys that feel like Marshall Faulk and Tom Jackson and there's a long list.
Yeah, but in any
they point to those and say, "See, I never saw it. I never saw that happen." And I have to say, you're right. I've never seen that happen. They announce pass interference. They actually move the sticks down to the ball, and then they come over. No. It wasn't pass interference. They got their feet tangled up. That's ridiculous.
That's a good call. Did you guys think that Brady was off?
Yes.
I thought his throwing was off, absolutely.
I particularly that one to Gronkowski, yes, where he threw high. I think he had the game before in his mind, and he says, I have to put this where only Gronkowski can catch it. And I think he went high with it.
I just think occasionally he has bad days, and he didn't have a great day, despite Bill saying how good he was.
You know, he had that drive at the end of the first half where we settled for the field goal with three straight incompletions. Never see that out of him.
Yeah.
He was below 50% in the first half.
We were talking about it. I don't know if you noticed. There was one play, and I believe it was a completion.
Everyone sucks but me.
He was doing his, you know, normal quarterback, drop back, scan the field, toes, and then he just went flat-footed for a minute. Just stood there, literally flat-footed.
Channeling his inner Steve
and
Grogan.
It was awkward, because you never see him do that. He's always, not happy,
kind
he's always on the balls
little.
Of his feet, so he's ready to throw, slide, move.
Right.
And he went for, you know, three-quarters of a second, completely flat-footed, and I just, that stood out to me as strange, and I think something was just a little off on the day. But they won.
I think overall the offensive line did a pretty good job,
mm-hmm,
whether it was protecting him or making holes for
Matt
Ridley.
Matt Light struggled, I thought.
Yeah, he had
I thought the rest of the line was fine.
That's why, like, I saw a lot of people, you know, listen, Seymour deserves all the criticism in the world for the damage that he did to his own team, but people were saying, like, he was invisible to it. I thought that he was a going concern,
yes,
throughout that game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that our offensive line had a hard time with him. Now, he didn't get there. But I think Brady did a good job of making those guys miss on a number of occasions. Not great pressure throughout the game, but on individual play, I don't think that their front was invisible. Tommy Kelly, Cameron, those guys were around Brady.
Oh, yeah.
But to Brady's credit, I thought he moved a little bit better in the pocket than I've seen him recently, avoiding some of those plays. Because I thought there were a couple of sacks that could have been had there for Oakland, and they didn't get them.
Should we be concerned that it's still the Wes Welker show? And other than that, you know, Ocho had a couple passes. No one else had more than two passes.
Yes.
Should we be concerned about that? Well, or is this just something, when Hernandez
comes back?
We'll
wait and see
when
Hernandez
comes
back.
You know,
yeah.
We'll be fine.
Well, but he's not back. And I think it's a major concern this week. We were talking about it upstairs. I think if I'm the Jets, I just put Revis on Welker and say, beat me somehow else, because Brady doesn't have confidence, I don't think, right now in Ocho Cinco still. Branch has disappeared except for a four-yard touchdown for two straight weeks. Gronkowski has to be a part of the blocking game, so you're not getting as many opportunities going his way. I think I don't think they've ever been this one-dimensional before.
What is going on with Branch? I don't know if you guys were able to ISO him. Is he being just picked off at the line? Is the play happening too fast for him to get open?
That would be the kind of insight that I really be relying on from the guy who was in the press box watching the game.
Well, I'm doing the blog. So.
Isn't the blog about the
game?
No,
it's an interesting question. And Andy, we saw some comments from Greg Bedard.
Yes.
You know, show friend, Greg Bedard, who said...
Has the best tone in his tweets, by the way.
Seemed like they were running a lot of vertical routes with him. And those aren't... He's not suited for those. That's the tone. Not suited for those. He's better on.
He used the word useless.
Yeah.
Something about if he's not on in cuts, he's useless or
yeah.
something.
So I don't know if that's the case, because you don't get that on TV. You don't get to see all the routes and things unfold like that. And quite frankly, even when you're there in person, you tend to watch the ball anyway.
When the coaching staff sends down the all 11, we'll break that down later in the week.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that. You know, because early in the season, he was spreading the ball around, you know.
Who was he going to spread it to? If Branch is useless and Hernandez is out and Woodhead is out,
if
mean, there's a lot of weapons that are out right
If
there.
They continue to be efficient moving the football, it won't bother
me. Yeah,
Taylor Price
didn't play at all.
But it's never bothered
there's
me.
There's no way he's going to continue to complete more than half his passes every week to Wes Welker. It won't happen.
No, I understand.
Less than zero
chance. I understand what you're saying, but it never bothered me. It was never better for me. In the old days when 17 guys caught at least one pass, as opposed to 07 when it was just Welker and Moss.
Right.
It never bothered me.
It was always two. We've never
seen
it
this one-dimensional. Because it was always efficient to me. Well, but this was 1 week that Gronkowski only caught. No, Gronk caught seven last week.
2 weeks in a row, Tom Brady, more than half his passes have gone to one guy, Wes Welker.
But another guy
that's
caught
more than
50%
of his
completions. How many do you want him to catch? This
I don't
week,
think it's ever
Gronk
good that more
one.
Than half your completions, whatever the number is,
yeah,
go to one guy.
Doesn't bother me in a way.
See, I think that's terribly one-dimensional.
I think if you don't have any other options, if you only have one option, then you're running the risk of someone just saying, you know what, Welker's not going to beat me. You're going to have to do something else.
And that's what they're going to do this week.
I agree with you, but
and
I do think that with Hernandez back, well, you could lose any game. I mean, with Hernandez
back, if you have multiple options, I wouldn't say he could very easily lose.
I just don't understand why Gronkowski wasn't an option in Buffalo when he caught seven passes and two touchdowns.
He was.
So let's not, it's not a two-week thing then. It's
and he had
one
more yards, but it is a two-week thing. It's 2 weeks in a row that his one target has been more than half his completions.
And they also
threw the ball. To me, that's a troubling trend.
They also threw the ball far less this game than they have in those other three games.
Why was that? Because he only had
one option. Because they ran for 200 yards.
Because,
maybe if they didn't, they would have run the ball 20 more times.
Because Gronkowski was held in.
But do you ever think that maybe if they had thrown the ball 15 more times like they did in the first three games, someone would have caught five more passes other than Welker?
Right, and Welker might have caught seven more like he did the week
before. And what would be wrong with that?
I would be concerned that you're becoming too one-dimensional.
In passing or in...
Like, I just don't understand how you get the 400 yards,
why that matters. I don't understand.
Because
that.
I think it makes you easier to defend.
But
when
obviously,
you have one major primary
not.
Target.
Obviously
well,
not.
Let's,
when the guy's got
so,
400
so,
yards.
So let's ask what, the
how
question.
Many, how many yards?
Whoa, 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 whoa. But, are we going to compare the Bills secondary and the Raiders secondary to when you actually play a real team? Because I think those defenses stink.
Well, but wait a minute.
That's the issue.
I'm talking about two different things.
No, actually, I'm not. I'm talking about the same thing.
No,
I'm talking
because
about the offense
being
one
dimensional. I don't care if you have eight options or not. Those other guys against the really good secondaries aren't going to be options for you. You had Welker and all those guys, and those good defenses shut you down.
My point is, bad defenses
are going to get beat by this offense.
Should get beat by more weapons. When you have good defenses with better players on the field, that's when I think you get down to one-on-one matchups and certain guys having to step up.
I think that's picking.
When you can't step up against bad defenses, I think you have zero chance of stepping up against good defenses.
But you're making it sound like that this was it wasn't by choice. This was, you know, they were forced into this. When Welker was wide open all day again the other day. Why would you not
go
to him?
Yes, he was wide open. They played a terrible defense.
I understand that. And when you play a good team.
But I don't think it was by choice. I don't think they said, we're not going to throw
it
to John Branch
for
2 weeks in a row.
And he's open, you're going to throw it to Welker.
No question.
Yeah.
My point is, a good defense, he's your first option, and he'll be covered.
And so,
and then your second option, who's covered against bad defenses, will likely also be covered.
But this is what I'm saying. Your third option, who doesn't know his place against bad defenses, won't know him against good defenses.
How many times did he try to target people other than Welker and he was unsuccessful?
I don't know.
That's my point. Like, how do you know those guys weren't open?
Why would he go to another person when Welker's open?
That's
what I'm saying. And I agree with you, Andy. I agree with you.
Deion Branch is not open against bad defenses, right?
No, I'm not willing to say that.
We don't know that.
Oh, I think he
would
go there.
That's why I'm
sometimes.
Asking. Do we
I think
know
he
what's...
spreads the ball around. I think he would go there.
But why would you if you're having so much success? Are you telling me
every throw to Wes Welker over the last 2 weeks has been wide open?
But everyone on Sunday was.
I thought
was.
In Buffalo, he forced it to him a few times
when
it was
too.
Tight
well,
windows.
I think in the critical,
not bad, because
I go to my playmakers on those plays too. But if I had a more open playmaker named Deion Branch, I'd go to him.
I agree with you, Andy. In the second half against Buffalo, there were times that he did force it. But he caught 16 that day.
Right.
He only caught 9 this week, and none of them were
see,
well
I'm not
covered.
Fixating
not
on
one
just
pass
the number.
He caught
I'm
was
fixating
well
on more than half his completions going to one guy. I don't think you can win that way long term. I don't.
I don't think that this offense is going to be as successful against a good defense. I agree with you.
Obviously.
But I don't care about the one-dimensional, eight-dimensional, whatever. I think that this offense is defendable against a good defense. But the problem is there ain't any good defenses
in football.
The next
step. Why is it defendable?
I just don't think they're balanced enough offensively in terms of running the ball. I don't think their running game is a threat against a good team. I don't think that they have enough different kinds of weapons offensively.
Well, that's my point.
But it's not about throwing the ball to one guy. I don't care if they're successful throwing the ball to Welker. I don't think they have personnel.
That's my point.
I don't think Welker is that good.
Well,
that's
I know
my
that.
Point.
I know that, and that's ridiculous.
Welker gets taken out of games against
good
defenses.
He's going to break his own rule, though. Remember his rule after the first 100 catch season? Yeah, maybe if he has 3 or 4 or 5 more of those, I'll tell you he's good. Well, he's had 2 more.
No.
He came off an ACL and had 86 catches.
He's never
he's
done anything.
He's going to have 160 catches this year, and Paul
he's
said,
never done
if
anything.
He has 1,000 of those seasons, I'll say he's good.
Okay. He's never done anything like he's done in this month.
Obviously.
In the first 4 years. You guys get enamored with the amount of catches.
Not many
I don't
players
care.
In the
no
of
one
football
has. No one has ever done what he's
right.
done.
I don't. But you guys get fixated on the
production
reception.
And numbers, and yards, and touchdowns.
No,
it's so ridiculous, Fred.
No, all you care about.
He just swallowed his tongue.
All you care about is the receptions. I don't.
No, that's not true.
All I care about.
But he's also getting
the
yards after catch this year.
No, it's the yards before catch that have impressed me this year. He's down the field
well,
catching
both.
The ball.
Both.
He's never done what he's done this in these.
No,
couple of games.
Four catches.
Never anything.
I've heard that.
Look,
yes.
I think
he's catching the yards.
I think Brandon Tate had impressive yards before the catch. If he had ever caught the ball,
I know what Paul is saying.
I don't know all the technical football lingo like the football guy. Yards at catch.
The spot of the catch is further down.
Who acknowledges catches at yards?
I understand what Paul's saying.
What I'm saying is when you're averaging 15 plus yards per catch, as opposed to 9 last year, he might not get. He might have had 123 catches, and he might only get 123 this year.
Right.
But that average per catch is just off the charts. The touchdowns, off the charts. That's where he's impressing me, not with the receptions. I don't care about running backs that can carry it 30 times a game.
You never was impressed with the pocket change.
I don't care about
the dollar bills.
I don't care about receptions. I care about plays. And Welker has made more plays in this month than he made all last year.
And like I said, he's faster than he was 2 years ago. I'm convinced.
He admits he's on the good stuff.
But the
flat out said it. He said the good stuff.
The rocket fuel.
I'm sorry, but in this world, when you say I'm on the good stuff has a meaning, Wes. You don't want to be saying that.
Well, I know.
Commissioner Goodell.
I know.
Knocking at the door.
I know.
Pre-game. Could you urinate in this cup?
If you could have had a camera.
I don't care what he meant. It's what he said.
If you could have had a camera on Andy and I when he said that.
I mean.
We were like, what?
Now they're just flat out admitting they're on the good stuff.
But whatever he's doing, keep doing it.
Well, he should.
It's working.
Because the players haven't agreed to allow testing.
No, but my point that I was trying to make, and I didn't make it well, is just that I felt the good defenses have been able to take him away. So if that's your
right.
fear, but
they have no one else.
Yeah, but if that's you do point. That, I believe that whether it's Gronkowski or Ocho Cinco or Dean Branch, they will come open.
I don't. I don't think they will.
Gronkowski,
if
I do.
If they focus
but
on
listen,
Welker?
Listen. Gronkowski, I do. The one problem with him is the longer he goes as your only tight end, I don't think this offensive line is impenetrable.
Well, that's
despite the fact that they lead the New York Life Pass Protection Index, which you can watch on Patriots.com. If you need to help somebody, Gronkowski's going to be helping because he's your best blocker. Now you're counting on either Ocho or Branch to come open. Which one of those guys do you have confidence in? Because I'll say neither. And you know who else has neither? Tom Brady. Because he said that on the touchdown to Wes Welker, Ocho was equally as open. Well, why'd you choose to throw to Welker then? Wouldn't throwing to Ocho be a way to build his confidence? Oh, wait, maybe because you think he's going to drop it.
Brady was quite disingenuous on that answer, by the way.
What the F is going on?
About the picks. Everybody else? He goes, you never do that on purpose, but why we seem to get called for it. First of all, they've gotten called for that about 3 times in the 10 years that they've been running this offense.
But everybody does.
Be honest with you, I don't see anybody get called for that on a regular basis.
Everybody gets called. 3%
unless you
they
make
run.
It egregiously right. where you're actually blocking a guy the way I think Ocho was blocking a guy when the ball, and even that was a ticky-tack call. You almost never get called for that penalty, and that's what happened on that play. And don't tell me that's not a design. When a guy's running a slant and another guy's cutting right underneath him, you're hoping that the coverage gets caught up in the wash. That's good play design. That's good offensive football. That's what you do.
Right.
You set, unintentional picks.
Right.
It's called a rub play.
Sure.
I mean, that's good football, and the Patriots have done that as well as anybody for 10 years. Every offense does that.
Of course they do.
Patriots are just better at it than everybody else.
All right, so we do have, there is concern, I think, on everybody's part about, going forward, getting other people involved in the offense, particularly because, really, they're going into games right now, like you said, with one tight end. That limits this team because the strength – up to now was, wow, they've got these tight ends now that they never had before that is just opening things up. And when you only have one and you have to protect Brady, it makes it tough to use even that one guy.
Well, that's why I just wonder, they can't find another guy? I mean, I feel like you can always find that blocking tight end. Why can't we find that guy so that Gronkowski can bump out to the slot role that Hernandez
played? I think that sends a good message about the status of Hernandez. I think if he was going to be long-term, they would have. Because you just need more than one tight end.
No, I know, but I mean, clearly Gronkowski, the Dan, didn't work. They didn't want him. He wasn't that good.
The Dan.
But
well, he was hurt too. He had a hamstring. They couldn't.
Right.
You know,
but how long is he going to be out with a hamstring?
Well, don't know. But they weren't going to hold a roster spot for a guy of his caliber. You know.
So he's not good enough.
Yes. Okay. To
Algie Crumpler. I just want some veteran guy who can block a little.
I think he'd have been back by now if that's all
right?
it was.
Yeah.
So that I can have Gronkowski as my tweener.
I think if Yateman had cleared waivers and been on the practice squad, you'd see him on the active roster right now.
Oh, you certainly would. Do you think Thomas Welch is that guy? Until Hernandez gets back. I don't mean long term.
Yeah.
Now,
Clearly not. I mean,
some people are saying Hernandez is coming back this week.
Based on the numbers
of this week,
I don't
know if that's accurate.
175 yards to Gronkowski, and I don't see the numbers to Welch.
I gotta
I'd like to see the numbers to Welch.
I got to imagine, unless we see a...
According to Crap Sheet, 53.
Unless we see a personnel move this week, I think Hernandez is going to be in this game. So,
what do you mean, unless we see a personnel move?
Unless we see them sign a tight end, I think you're going to see Hernandez back for this game.
Yeah, I think... I forget, someone sent me something saying that someone was reporting Hernandez was going to be back for this game.
Now, who's someone?
One of my friends sent me an email. I don't know who he sent it from.
No.
But, you know, Welch, according to Ian, who broke down those numbers on the rushing, Welch is something like eight rushes behind him for 53 yards. So it was a healthy production behind him as well. He didn't play the amount of snaps.
But those are behind Gronkowski, too. Right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My guess
he didn't
is
break it down that way,
that
so I don't know.
They're running behind Gronkowski.
It could very well be.
So you're doubling up numbers.
I also would say...
My point is I want to be able to have Welch lined up at tight end and Gronk out in the slot so that I can now have him as a viable receiving option.
Oh, yeah. No, I know exactly
or
what you're saying.
Or whoever else it is, Algie Crumpler or Dan
Gronkowski.
I know
what you're saying, but the reason I don't know about those numbers, Gronkowski is lined up on the end. Now, I thought that they ran to the edges very effectively in this game against Oakland. I thought that was the big part. You know, Ridley's run. There was a lot from the tackle out, I thought, that they had production, and that's tight. I mean, you have to get good blocking from your edge guys in
and
order to do
that.
He has
some good bursts up the middle, too, though.
But... See, now that's what I'm talking about. If Gronkowski's, say Gronkowski's lined up at tight end on the right side, just regular tight end on the right side, and you run it right up the gut, but on the right side, right guard center, A-gap on the right side, is that considered to Gronkowski's side? I have a feeling it was, based on this game. And that ain't exactly running behind the tight end. Do you know what I mean?
But, it's you're cleaning out the trash there, and I think they did a good job. I mean, Ridley... You know, in his runs, he really impressed me. There's something about him that...
Have you been listening to us for a month?
No.
He just tones us out.
We've been calling for him because he can add something to the offense that no fault of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, he can't.
This goes back, by the way, to March. When Andy, Eric, and I watched the draft stuff, we loved this kid.
Yeah. Listen to
him. We loved him before we even knew he was a Patriot.
You know, it's right funny here, because Paul. he's got the speed of... You know, Fred Taylor in his youth, but he's got kind of that shoulder shake like Dylan has, where he's kind of going back and forth.
Let's pump the brakes on the 22,000 career rushing yards.
But I'm just saying that he really looks good hitting
stats.
That hole.
See, now you forced me to be negative.
Right.
Because
let's talk about the negatives, Andy.
He's going to fumble. He turns his back to the defender way too often, spins way too often.
All this negativity that's in this town
he puts
sucks.
The ball at risk too often. You forced it because you compared him to two borderline Hall of Fame running backs.
And he also,
after 1 week of 97 yards.
He also, fumble or not, I agree with what Andy just said, because I think if you keep doing that, you're going to lose the ball. But exposes himself to some big hits.
Yes.
He runs very upright.
Yeah. He runs upright and upright and turns his back. Is there a worse way to get leveled than with your back facing the defender upright?
He does run upright.
Methinks he's not long for a lot of 16-game seasons.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. He's not going to be a franchise plug him in for the next 5 years back.
But
he's a lot better than Green Ellis right now for this offense that needs
him.
To add to the
he
play
He gives you a,
game.
A dynamic element that you lack with Benny.
Yeah.
Benny's great. I have no problem if we want to continue to feature Benny.
Between
the tackles and give me that 4 yard. You know, he's going to get you what's there every time. And he never fumbles. There's a lot worse things to have in a back than take what's given you and hold on to the ball.
Right.
And he's proven to be an excellent goal line running back.
Yep.
You can live with that. But Ridley just gives you a dynamic dimension that you don't have.
This guy can break one.
You don't have – there's no way Benny goes 33 yards for that touchdown. No way.
No.
In my mind.
No.
Anyway, I don't know how you guys feel.
I agree.
Do you think someone gets him on that end?
No.
I said that earlier when he had a run that went for like 6 yards. That was a Ridley 26-yard run.
It was great. The first play of the game, Benny had one of those runs where it wasn't the first play. It was his first run. It was like he ran through the middle. There was no one there. It was like 8 yards untouched, and he did like the Andy Hart stutter step juke on the safety and ended up running right into him. And Andy's up in arms. He goes, he stinks. He stinks. He can't. And the next play, he had this beautiful little shift to the side in the hole where he made a guy miss, moved laterally, And just great vision, great shift, great cut, and burst through and got like another 8 yards. And he goes, that was a pretty good run right there. It was Andy Hart in a nutshell.
I'm reactionary.
Yeah. So it's a good thing Ridley is coming on because Woody turned his ankle.
Well, you may get to see Vereen now, too.
Yeah.
He was healthy, but barely played.
Kyle Love also turned his ankle.
Did
they
cry?
Say anything on TV about the new turf that they put on and that might be a reason
no.
for these turned ankles? Or
no.
No?
And he came anything. Back, so.
I know he came back.
Yeah.
I thought the field looked outstanding. I don't know anybody, but Eric did.
You could see the seams pretty easily.
Yeah, but
there were big chunks of
everybody
turf
there said how great it was.
Yeah. Except Eric.
Except for us.
Yeah.
Eric was tweeting, it looked terrible. Literally, a couple minutes later, Bedard tweets, the turf looks beautiful here.
Ian, Bedard, I think Giardi said something about it, and they were all like, this looks like a fantastic playing surface. Yeah. And Eric went on and on about, they covered up the dirt.
What else coming out of this game that you guys wanted to bring up?
We should probably talk a little bit about the mixing in more zone. Everybody was talking in recent weeks, the man coverage has hurt McCourty and blah, 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 and they mixed it. I don't know if it's coincidence or just Raiders related. This week they played more zone.
Well, it was interesting because I think it was Bedard in the post-game press conference
yes.
with Belichick who specifically said that. And usually when writers get specific about that, Belichick will poo-poo and, well,
right.
we really – but he didn't.
No, he but didn't. He did say it was related to Oakland, though.
Right.
Well, yeah,
which
but
I don't,
but
which
he didn't
I don't
deny
know.
That they were playing more zone.
Oh, no, well, in fact, yeah. he also said we mixed it. Well, we tried to mix it, and he made it sound like we were planning to run some man, but we never got to it because the zone or whatever. The way he phrased it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I think McCourty played very well in run support, but I still don't see much improvement in coverage.
I couldn't agree with you
He's
more.
He's the run yeah. stuffing corner.
He had some great plays in that game. None of which came in defending the pass.
Right.
He made some really, I mean, he
Actually,
made some
his
really
best pass
outstanding tackles.
Was the hit
game.
On Brown? Got called for the hit? Was it Brown or one of the safeties came across? He made a nice play where he reached across and batted the ball down and they got called for the hit. I think it was helmet to helmet or defenseless receiver or something. And he's so touchy right now. He immediately started like complaining and
right.
defending himself and it was actually on the safety. But it was a nice play.
I think it might have been Chung.
Maybe it was Chung. Yeah, I think it was Chung.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was and that was another close call. I think he got called for intent. He went yeah. in head first.
Right.
There's no question about that. But I don't think he really hit him.
Yeah. Right.
I give him credit. He made some contact. Sergio Brown would have missed him by a foot. welcome to my new whipping boy, Serge.
And I like Serge.
I do, too, but he stinks.
Another positive.
Special teamer.
Another positive that you have to take out of the game is after Mayo came out of the game, they got called for, a couple 12 men, I think.
They got a 12 men on the field
have.
Shortly after
but,
that.
But
yes.
they didn't collapse. The defense did okay, Campbell had to throw the ball, and they did all right.
That's the one problem, though. I think you'd notice it necessarily more if a team came out early in a game and could run the
Maybe.
Ball and stay balanced.
I thought Campbell came exactly as advertised. He's a Jag.
Oh, there's no question.
Not a stiff.
I never had any doubt, yeah.
But a Jag.
No question.
And
I heard somebody say he's a young quarterback. Young?
Someone goes,
been
that's
in
where
the
his
league forever. That,
yeah, someone said that's where his inexperience comes in.
What inexperience?
He's not an inexperienced quarterback. He's
been around for 8 years or something. I mean, he's on the back nine of his career by this point.
He's just not very good.
Yeah.
And to play in the end zone.
Yeah, that was terrible. You got to rifle that into the stands.
I insist.
Or lob it into the stands. Just get it to the stands.
At first, Andy's going to laugh, but I at first thought that he threw it to one of his guys.
Colorblind.
Like he pulled up Vinny Testaverde. Maybe he caught it out of the corner of his eye and he thought it was his guy. That's how blatant it was. Then I watched the replay and you see Hayward Bay is coming from the corner across the back line of the end zone. He gets bumped out of bounds. Actually, the referee throws his hat down, which would have made Hayward Bay an ineligible receiver anyway. And I was thinking maybe he was trying to throw it, like lob it, because he threw it so soft that I thought maybe he was trying to throw it high. Knowing Hayward Bay was coming along the back line, maybe he goes up and gets it. He's the biggest guy back there. No one else will get it. But he threw it right in Chung's chest.
It was definitely a brain fart.
And he says that he was just trying to throw it away. Yeah. So clearly he didn't see Chung when he tried to throw
Did
it
you,
away. Why you wouldn't throw it into the seats to
right.
try to throw it away,
That's
I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you catch Chung on the post-game show after the game at all, Paul?
Not on the post-game show, but I heard him say, yeah, he threw it right to me, but you still have to catch it.
Well, Adam pretty much asked him what he thought when the ball was headed toward him, and he just shrugged and went, thanks, dude.
How do you know he shrugged?
whatever.
Well, it was radio.
Thanks,
he
Andy.
Was in Oakland.
Thanks, Andy.
See, I didn't call you.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-298-0398 down here in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Let's go to Virginia where Darius is on the line. Hey, Darius.
Hey, what's up, Fred? Andy, Paul, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, we're doing
hey,
good.
You we're know, pumped. Big win.
Basking in the glow of a win in the black hole.
Yeah, it was nice to finally, well, not finally, I mean, it's not the first win, but it was nice to have a win. But a few things. First, Paul and Andy, you guys were talking about Ridley, and I'm not quite sure if I agree that you guys were on board with Ridley back in the early part of the season, because I swear I remember after the draft, there was a whole lot of hype about Vereen. And you guys kept talking about Vereen, Vereen, Vereen. I'm like, why are they talking about Vereen? I'm looking at the videos. I'm like, Ridley is the best back. He's the guy I want to see. And I remember sending you guys an email because I was like, why do you keep talking about Ridley? I mean, about Vereen. So I'm not quite sure you guys are telling the truth there about being on board with Ridley early in the season. So you guys might have to.
Don't point with me.
I'll tell you, Darius, first.
I'll tell you. First of all, they're two totally different players. Yeah. One's a third down back, one's an every down back. I've absolutely loved Vereen from the time I saw him on tape. And I talked to his position coach, and he told me all about his play ability.
Right.
I've been on board with
Vereen or
with
Ridley?
Ridley.
Ridley.
No, from the start.
You just said Vereen.
I love Vereen. I absolutely
Paul loves
love
everyone.
Vereen. Listen, these are two running backs that jumped out. The other guy that I really loved in this draft was Daniel Thomas from Miami. I loved all three, and he's been good. He's just been hurt a lot. He had a hamstring problem again. When he plays, he gets 100 yards. But I love Ridley, and I love Vereen. They're two totally different players. Vereen is going to be the third down back of the future.
Right,
he's going to be that doing all those different things. But I think he's got much more big play ability than even Kevin Faulk had. I'm talking about taking some of those plays and not just moving the chains with them, but putting points on the board with them.
Right,
Ridley is an every down back.
Yes.
It's a different kind of thing. But I loved them both,
okay.
And I have since the draft process.
Okay. All right. Couple of more things on the West Welker issue. I think Andy was talking about it. One of you guys was talking about how, just going to West Welker, to me, I know it seems like a good thing that, you know, he's able to do all that he's done for us so far, but I was a little, disturbed about the game that they went to him so much because I'm like, if this is going to be the way they're going to play the rest of the season, it's like going to the well one too many times, Sooner or later, all those hits is going to take, their toll on him.
Well, that's a good point, Derek. Yeah, that's something we haven't talked about. See, I don't mind them going to Wes Welker if he's the guy that's open. But, like you said, the more they throw to this guy, he does get lit up, like
exactly.
Bill Belichick says. And, you do worry about that because of his size. And he's very adept at, not giving a guy a good target and, diving, as he calls it, and, avoiding the hit. But he does get lit up at least once a game, and you do worry about that. So, I agree with you there.
Yeah. And then the last two things, the best hit of the game was that hit Spikes put on McFadden.
Yep.
I thought it was the hit he put on Sean Ellis.
That was a great hit.
He laid the lumber a few times.
Good stick, 7 yards.
But he had one on Sean Ellis that I thought was going to leave Ellis concussed, and he went to the sideline and was laughing about it. He literally almost knocked out Sean Ellis. He's a hectic player. He's all over the
but
place.
But did you see an optimistic sign? Because he has been kind of absent up to this week.
And, I'm tired of celebrations.
And this week, I think, he was a factor. He was definitely a factor. They would not have done as well against the run had he not been out there.
And that's my point. And the attitude that he brought, driving him into the ground like that, I was like, we need to see more of that.
He has some attitude.
I'd like to see it around the line of scrimmage and not 5 yards downfield. And then I would say,
I think you saw that. I think you did.
That was a big game, that play that he had to tackle on.
No, but I think you saw, Spike stuffing
him
up front,
close to
the line.
I thought the front did a great job this week. And I thought Sean Ellis
loose
took a
change, Fred.
I thought Sean Ellis he's not even loose change. I thought the front took a lot of Sean Ellis took a lot of heat this week, because the reverse came right at him and the guy made a move and beat him. I thought Sean Ellis by far played his best game of the four games that, he didn't stand out. He wasn't like this you know, four sacks and constant pressure. I thought he was really, really good at the point of attack running. That's where the Raiders want to run, outside. They want to get to the edges. They couldn't do it, and they attacked him a lot. I thought Ellis was getting – there was tweets throughout the game criticizing Sean Ellis, and I know
– Well, he looked bad in a couple open field plays, but –
Jacoby Ford coming in the open field against Sean Ellis. Guys, who do you think is going to win?
4-3 versus, you know, 10-3.
And he did – what did you say, Andy? Inside shoulder. I mean, that's all you can ask him to do is make sure that you do something that you make him have to make a move to get by you. Don't let him just run by you. And he did, and there was no one else there. He ended up getting 30 yards. Right. That wasn't Sean Ellis' fault.
Last one, I got the solution to our DB woes, and we don't even have to go outside the team.
You're gonna Wilfort.
Vince Wilfort. That's right. Put him back at the corner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he'd certainly be able to jam him at the line. That, all right, Darius. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Can we eat receivers at the line?
Yeah. We haven't really talked about Wilfort. Pretty amazing. Number two on the team with interceptions now. But can you imagine trying to tackle that guy?
No.
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't just dive at his legs. I don't know why. You know, I think that when you see a big guy with the ball, you automatically say, I'm going to try to strip him because you figure he's not going to be holding the ball the right way, which is not a bad way to go. Usually they're not. Now, he is obviously well-schooled because both times he put two hands on the ball when he was about to get hit. But I don't know why you go for the Nantucket sleigh ride on a big defensive lineman. Just dive at his legs. Right?
Well, I think part of the problem is you're talking about guys who aren't great tacklers. They're just
offensive guys.
Yeah.
Did you see the offense at the end of his run? An offensive lineman tried to tackle him, and
the stiff arm he gave him.
Well, no, that was early in the run, but
that looked textbook like a running back turning the corner.
It was a Heisman. He had the ball in one hand, tremendous. And the stiff arm. But at the end of the run, offensive lineman finally brought him down. But Wilfork laid a shoulder into this guy and just put a 300-pound guy on his butt.
Well, generally, you when know. A 370-pound guy hits a 300-pound guy, he wins.
It's pretty incredible, the athleticism for a guy his size.
I'm just happy that he was happy enough to talk to the media after the
win. Oh, okay.
You don't think that's fair?
I think it is.
There was a lot of sarcastic tweets right after his interception.
One's a win, the other's a loss.
And I thought he was a captain who would pay $40 million to be a leader. So he's only a he's like you. He's a leader. He's with the team when they win. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Let me ask you a question. Getting back to our original line about the one-dimensional nature of the passing game?
Yes.
Do you think if Welker were out, they wouldn't find ways to move the ball reasonably close to the way they are now?
No, I don't.
See,
unless Ocho comes on.
I think somebody would. I think it probably would be Branch.
I'm not sold.
Or even Edelman.
Yeah, I'm not
sold. Now, you would not. I'm not saying you replicate it perfectly before I get attacked. As I said, I've never seen anyone do what Welker has done the first month of this season. And I don't think you could just plug someone in and expect them to catch 40 passes for, you know, 8 million yards and 5 touchdowns. I don't think that just anybody would do that. I say reasonable facts.
But any other coin in the pocket would do it.
No, what I'm saying is I think if he wasn't there, all the complaints you'd have, it wouldn't all go to one guy. But it would be the bottom line at the end of the day would look very similar to me. I think you'd be knocking on the door 30 points, and I think you'd be knocking on the door 400-plus yards with or without him, because I think the offense, the system, is that good, and obviously the quarterback is on another level. You take the quarterback out, and that's a different story.
Then it's Curtis Painter time, who wasn't too bad. You know, he got better as the game went
by. The last two games, by the way, showing you that Polian really screwed that one up. Should have just stuck with Painter.
Yeah.
He hasn't been terrible.
Right. He would have been the progression that he's made would have been that far ahead
and if you look
by
at,
this time if he had just stuck
and
with
if you
Painter.
Look at their
you're
games.
You're right. You're right.
If you look at
their games.
Because
that's his problem. I said this earlier. He looks like a deer in headlights. It looks like he needs to settle down.
Looks like he's never seen a blitz before.
Right. But that's my point.
I watched a little of the first half. I didn't even know who won.
What did Matt Castle look like? He looked terrible.
In the headlights.
And then he looks good.
But they didn't allow him to play through those games.
You got to give him that chance.
Now, maybe by the end of the year.
He also needs a little help because I only watched early, but I saw him hit Pierre Garçon right in the hands, and it went right through his hands.
Like, and also,
you can't have those when you're with your backup quarterback. You have to be on point.
And this is what happens when a team is just going bad and they're expected to continue to go bad. They're dropping like flies. I mean, I know everybody has a ton of injuries. I'm not feeling bad for the Colts,
right?
Believe me. But they lost two more. They had one defensive lineman at the end of the game, and one defensive tackle by the end of the game. That guy Foster, like, destroyed his ankle. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was
gross.
Bad. That was bad.
Did you see that play, Andy? In the 2-minute drill at the end of the game? I heard a lot about it, but
I didn't. I mean, you got guys on their knees praying around the guys.
I don't like to see those.
No, and they lost. They've lost like 4 or 5 starters on defense for the year already. 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I also don't know why they take. This was a big thing, kind of get annoying with the announcers, with Gruden and Jaworski, but they take Mathis and Freeney off the field as a pair, and he's talking about how this is where you get a check to a chance play or take a shot down the field, a shot play, because you don't have to worry as much about the pass rush. Aren't those two guys pretty well compensated? Aren't they supposed to both be good? Shouldn't you try to have one of them on the field at all times to rush? Why are we taking our best players, our highest paid players, and putting them on the sideline together to get a breather?
I got enough problems trying to figure out what the Patriots are doing. I don't know.
Well, that's true. You do.
Yeah.
Do you fall in line with the theory at all that defense can't get much worse without Mayo?
That's my theory.
Defense can't get much worse. No, I don't fall into that.
I don't either, because I think when teams want to run the ball, and like I said against Oakland, the game was a different game already before he was.
And I also think from a communication standpoint in coverage and sub packages, he's critical out there. And so now someone's going to have to pick that up.
Less so am I worried there.
We just got an email. You know, we have a lot of emails, but one email that came in on this topic from Howard wants to know when Mayo was out, who had the green dot on defense for the Patriots.
It was Guyton, wasn't it?
Anyone?
I assume it was Guyton. I wasn't there.
It's Gary Guyton.
Yeah. Gary Guyton is the correct
I'm not
name.
Sure it'll be Guyton this week.
I'm not sure it will be either. It might be your boy.
Who's my boy?
Penny Nickel. Spikes.
I don't know. I don't know if I want him with that responsibility. I want him just focusing on making plays.
Spikes and Welker are in the same category?
No.
Yeah.
Can I? Why are you the only one allowed to say things and be wrong? No one else can.
Because you've yet to admit you were wrong
on Wes
Welker.
Of course I have.
Oh, come on.
I didn't say that he's more than loose. Have I not admitted that he was more than loose change, Fred?
Fred.
Depends on what time you get him, you know.
You guys are
ridiculous.
He goes, if you can just stop trying to make fun of me for 2 seconds and
no,
actually
but you
offer
are hot
analysis.
And cold on Wes, you know.
I don't think he's as good. I will admit that. I don't think he's as good as everybody else does.
No, but even.
That doesn't mean I still think he's loose
I
change.
I understand what you're saying when, you know, if it wasn't Welker, they'd be able to do it anyway, but that's kind of a shot at Welker.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying
I don't think he's as good as everybody else.
If they
didn't have Calvin Johnson, they'd still be able to do what they do. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think they would.
Right.
That's
because you think Calvin Johnson is that much better. Which,
yeah, that's a fundamental difference in how I think of those two players.
No, I think they're.
That's the perfect analogy for me.
Yeah, I saw on ESPN this morning they had the, you know, which one means more to their team, Calvin Johnson or Wes Welker. I think Wes Welker means more because the Lions have a little bit of a defense that they can fall back on.
That's my vote.
But when you're talking about the best wide receivers in the game.
Calvin Johnson's way better.
You know, exactly. And it's because, you know, he can do things that Welker can't.
And it's why Welker's going to learn the lesson when he catches 135 balls for somewhere in the range of 1,700 yards and 10 touchdowns, and he hits free agency and everybody goes,
yeah,
I don't know, 3 years, $18 million. No one says 4 or 5 years, $50 million.
But as far as receivers of Welker's ilk, you know, the slot receiver, we might be seeing the best ever. If this guy continues another 3-4 years, this might be the best slot receiver in the history of football.
Well, who's the best slot receiver in the history of football right now?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't either. That's my it's kind of like who's the best right tackle in the history of football.
Yeah.
I don't know because the left ones are the ones that matter.
Yeah.
Literally, who's the best slot receiver in the history of football? Tell me.
I'm not sure. I have to look it up.
In the history, I don't know. But right now, you have to say it's Welker.
No, that's obvious. But
well, I mean, I think there's a lot of good slot receivers.
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's by far and away the best.
See, but
I don't know who the all-time great slot receivers are. I really don't. I mean. Yeah. I couldn't even give you
but the thing about it though is he is now, you know, expanding what he does. It's not just these little quick slants and crosses over the middle.
Well, that's part of
he's
what I was
talking
about.
He's now getting downfield. He's expanding his repertoire.
But that's part of what I was talking about. I haven't seen this kind of diversity from him in the first 4 years.
Yeah.
I think
there's a reason for that.
And I know
you had other guys that could do it.
I know he caught 125 passes and all, but that's not really what impressed me. What's impressed me is what he's doing right now.
See, I think that's necessity.
But the big plays have been unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I think that's purely out of necessity, the fact that they don't have anybody else.
All right. Well, Kevin's not there.
But I just think if you I know that you're taking it as being disrespectful. I think it's more I'm trying to be more respectful for the system and for the quarterback than disrespectful for Welker.
Sure.
When I say I just think that this offense would still move the ball.
See, one of my great tests of how good a guy is can he do more than one thing? Can he evolve? You know, Michael Jordan, he goes from being a dunker and an athlete to he could flat out shoot with anybody. With the game on the line, he could drain an 18-footer. To me, Wes Welker is doing that right now.
Okay.
You now have an offense where he can't only catch little six-yard option routes, little slants. Right. He has to do more than that, and my God, he's doing it.
So you think he's that good?
Yeah. Oh, I think he's taking it to another level because of the need to do so because of the offense around him.
So why are you so worried then that he won't be able to do it every game?
Because he's doing it right now against bad defenses.
No, I understand that.
I'm not sure he can do it when matched up one-on-one with Revis. Now, not too many people can. Oh.
Right.
But that's what an elite receiver is. When you match up Calvin Johnson one-on-one with Darrell Revis, you still think you have a chance because you have the best athlete on the field in Calvin Johnson. I'm not sure you can even look to Wes Welker matched up one-on-one with a
corner like
Revis.
But let's say, for argument's sake, the only guy capable of doing that would be Revis. Would you still be worried?
Well, but I also think other teams will say, okay, we're going to do this with a safety, we're going to help out.
But if he's as good as you think he is, he should be able to overcome that.
I don't know. I don't know if he is.
Now, Revis is
a
great
slot receiver. Is he a great receiver is the question. Because he's right on that cusp.
I think he's right now he's a great receiver. I can't.
Against bad teams. Now I need to see it against good teams.
Yeah.
Well,
I know what you're saying, but I think.
Produced against all kinds of teams. Well, Welker.
But in his role as slot guy, now he has to produce in. He's the guy. This is his offense. The passing game goes through
him. We'll see, because this week they're playing one of the best defenses in the league, no doubt about it.
No. Not right
this year.
Well, a defense
not in 2011.
A defense that
they can't stop the run.
But of the defense, there's not a lot of good defenses. Of the defenses,
and this ain't one of them.
They're one of the better ones. They are statistic wise. I know that.
Really?
QB rating, they are.
You see their run defense numbers?
Well, I'm talking about against the pass, QB rating. I think the Jets are one or two. Passing yards, I think they're one or two. You know, they're doing well against the pass. So my point is, this will be a good test for the Patriots because it's also a Jets team that thinks they figured out the Patriots offense and certainly did in the playoffs. So, you know, I doubt that they're going to come in with a whole different defensive game plan because, you know, the Patriots' offense isn't really that different than it was last year. And so what worked last year should work this year unless the Patriots now can counter that.
Well, I think the big difference is the Jets can't stop anybody from running the football. So I do think it's going to have to be a different game plan.
And if that's different, that'll be the difference of the Patriots' offense from last year to this year is Stephen Ridley.
Did you ever think that maybe the Jets' numbers against the pass, and I don't know them to be as good as you're saying they are, one in the league. I didn't know that. Did you ever think that maybe it's because other teams are saying, why should we throw the ball when they have Revis out there? We'll just run it. They can't stop us.
Could be. It could be. Quarterback rating also comes in, when the quarterback throws. It's not just how many times they throw. And teams are having.
No, I know that. But maybe they're down because teams aren't throwing it a lot. And
It could be.
I mean, the Cowboys ripped them apart in week one.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what ended up happening at the end of the game, but that wasn't because the Jets' defense, came up with some huge plays. I mean, Romo just crapped the bed, and they had a block punt.
I think the point is that in the playoffs last year, they took away Welker.
Mm-hmm.
They took away Welker. So they think they know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. This will be a good test to test, Andy's theory and Paul's theory of what the Patriots do when Welker gets taken away. Because you gotta believe that they're not stupid. They're not gonna go into this game and let Welker do what he's been doing to other teams. At least they're gonna try to take that away. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see who steps up for the Patriots. Now, if Hernandez comes back, kind of a moot point.
It's a different argument.
It's a different argument.
And there are two schools of thought on that, too, with what you let happen. You might say, listen, we know they're gonna go to Welker, and we'll be content to let him have his, but we gotta make sure that we don't let him beat us for big plays the way that he's done to both, really to everybody this year. And we got to make sure we don't let him, make big plays after the catch. We got to get a couple of guys around him, let him catch his crossing routes, and then tackle him.
But that wasn't how they beat him in the playoffs last year. They took away Welker. They took away the middle of the field. And right. they gave the Patriots the outside, and Brady just couldn't take advantage of that.
No, that's what they did in the playoff game. Right. Yeah, they took everything away.
Well, you can't take everything away.
Well, they did in the playoff game.
It's up to a team to take what they're giving you, and the Patriots just couldn't do it.
You know, like Andy and I were talking about this morning, and I think Andy's probably right. They can put Revis on Welker, and more than likely that would mean Cromartie on Ocho, and then you probably put Kyle Wilson and maybe give him help on Branch,
right,
on the outside, and then see how that unfolds. Or you could just say, I'm going to put Revis on Branch, I'm going to put Cromartie on Ocho, and I'm not going to worry about those two guys. Because those two outside receivers haven't really done a lot of damage for the Patriots,
right?
With the exception of one game that Branch had, a huge game. And then I'm going to take Kyle Wilson, I'm going to take Jim Leonard, I'm going to take Brodney Poole, Eric Smith, all these guys, and just clog the middle of the field like you did, like you're saying, and make sure that Welker doesn't get, you know, strength in numbers. I could see it going either way. Now, I think Andy's going to end up being right because the Patriots have been so ineffective other than Welker. But the big trump card to that is Hernandez. If Hernandez comes back and now you have the option of using those tight ends a little bit more in the passing game, now you have some more things to worry about. And I thought that the underrated thing in the playoff game was how differently the Jets defended Danny Woodhead. In the first game, the 45-3 game, Woodhead right. was huge.
He ran wild.
They didn't factor him anywhere near as much. The second game, remember all those touches that Woodhead had in the playoff game? And he did nothing with them. I think he had 14 carries in that play. That was a lot for him. He didn't make any big plays in the playoff game. The Jets were aware of him. So someone else like that could seep into the game plan for the Patriots and hurt them. Hernandez, Woodhead. You know, Woodhead's dealing with an injury. Who knows? Ridley.
Well, could Stephen Ridley be the X factor? He wasn't on the team last year.
I'm expecting the Patriots to have a huge running game on Sunday.
And they've been building him up. 7 carries 2 weeks ago. How many carries did he have? 9 carries this week. They've been building him up to a little bit more. 10. So he could be the guy that the Jets haven't seen yet that gives them the big play ability from, you know, the running back position that didn't exist last year. You didn't really have to worry about Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis if you're the Jets, you know? So that'll be interesting to see. But this would be a fascinating game. Yes, the Jets defense, I think, has been in a 2-year decline, frankly. I think last year they lost a little bit of their pass rush ability, and this year I think they're kind of, you know, even taking a step back from that. But still, they know the Patriots very well, and it'll be a good test to see what happens if you take away Wes Welker. So, all right, we're gonna take a break. We've been going for 1 hour and 4 minutes.
Huh?
We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket line is 508-298-0398. We'll get to your emails and calls right after this.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank America Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40.
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10. Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it too.
You
didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at pages.com is the email address. Strippers writes in that the Jets do indeed have the best QB rating, 57.1. That's pretty good.
So Carrie Byrne or one of those guys must be orgasmic. One of those stat geek people touts that as like the be-all, end-all statistic.
In their pasty, says Strippers, they've given up 2 touchdowns and have 6 interceptions.
I knew that.
But as Paul said, you know, maybe... teams are running the ball all over them, you know. So
well, every team but Jacksonville has run it right down their throat, and so. Jacksonville stinks.
Let's see. TG and NJ writes in. This is on web radio at pages.com. Says I agree with Darius who called in. You guys were talking more about Vereen than Ridley. You guys talked more about whether Vereen was related to Ben Vereen than whether Ridley was a good running back. Classic PFW. I rewatched the game. I thought the defense played better, and I think they will continue to improve, but the injuries could derail the whole process. It seems the D-line can't get off the block. Seems a lack of speed and agility. Can they not stunt? I think they will continue to struggle against most O-lines, but against the maligned Jets O-line, could they have some success this weekend? So you figure Sexy Rexy will take Wes out of the game, which is okay, because he's not that good of a player anyway, according to Paulie. So does Branch step up? Ocho. Will we see Taylor Price this weekend?
I'm stopped on that because I thought we'd see him last weekend.
Spikes is going to be a factor in stopping the run, especially this weekend. Don't care about his celebrations. I'll gladly deal with them if it means he's making tackles. Sorry, Paulie, I'm a Patriots fan.
I would, too. I would gladly deal with him if he was making tackles.
He is.
He ain't. He had
three. Why doesn't Belichick walk down the tight end aisle at the football player grocery store? Keep up the great coverage and analysis. TG behind enemy lines in JETS territory. So.
Yeah, I was really disappointed we didn't see Taylor Price on Sunday, Fred.
You were.
Should we start it up again? What? No. This is the week that Ocho Cinco is going to have a huge game. 8 catches this week.
You think so?
No.
He's being his negative, sarcastic
self. I'm not. I told you last week, Ocho's off my radar. If he plays, great. If he doesn't, I'm not missing him. I'm going to let him. I'm not going to put any pressure on him because I know I've been putting a lot of pressure on him.
And he's felt it, and it's really adversely affected him.
Right.
Is it true that Bill called him on EEISA Chad Johnson?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Somebody tweeted that and thought it was a good thing, and they're stamping out the alter ego character of Ocho Cinco, and to which I replied, coincidentally stamping out his production as well.
Speaking of that, do you have like some type of thing going on with Tom Curran where he calls you Adam Hart?
No, he called me that on the TV show last week.
On purpose?
No.
Oh.
Oh, he claims no. I don't know.
There's a guy that works for Comcast named Adam Hart.
Oh. So he just confused. He did a Fred Kirsch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people, I actually didn't think, I thought he was referring to Adam Hart. And then people kept telling me, no, he was talking about you. So I went back and forth with him on Twitter. I called him Tom Karen and Rennie Curran and as many things I could think of.
So you do have something going with him.
Well, I kind of have something going with anybody.
Because you just can't let it go.
Somebody today told me they started following Ian Rappaport and Mike Giardi just to see who and why I was fighting with.
Alex writes in, hello, men of PFW and T-Rex.
But I'm not allowed to fight on Twitter anymore, you said.
Right.
Remember you told me.
About certain things.
Yeah, correct. Which I would have fought about last week had I been still allowed to fight, because some people wrote once again that the Patriots have announced that these players are inactive. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Well, good win by the
Patriots. I can't tweet about it. I'll just tell 100-something thousand people about it.
Good win by the Patriots. I think the defense played a little bit better, but there is definitely room to improve. I was able to find a Patriots fan club from the Patriots website and went to a local watering hole called North River Tavern here in Georgia and hung out with some great Patriots fans. That's
nice.
I like it when people use the resources we make available.
They should listen to the Patriots pregame social presented by JetBlue.
Oh, by the way, did
anybody
call in from the shindig that Barry Incion put together?
No, so we had someone else call in from one of those clubs, though. Which one was it? I forget. Was it Northern California?
Dean.
Is that this week?
Oh, maybe not.
Wasn't Dean in Rochester?
Maybe. My memory's not so good.
Dean was Rochester,
that
New York.
That was classic Andy right there. I got the look. I got the raised eyebrows. I got the smirking out of the side of his mouth. Let's move on.
Yeah. Memory, not my thing.
Speaking of Patriots fans, Fred, can you please put a ban on Eldridge and Tyrone? I listened to the post-game show, and I heard Tyrone call in, and the way he made it seem, it was that we just lost the Super Bowl. Then I remember that he called on all three shows on Thursday and said the same thing. We need to draft B.J. Raji. We need to get Peppers. We need to get this guy or that guy. Then I remembered Eldridge does the same thing but can't say the players' names. Wes Welcher. I love it. Listener on listener crime. Now, the Patriots are 3-1, tied in division, and the only team that I can see beating them are the Packers. Let's move on and bring on those frauds. The Razor needs to be super loud.
Wait a minute.
This weekend. F the Jets. And my prediction for the game is Patriots over the not yets, 103-0.
After Andy goes, I have something to say.
Okay.
Just interrupt me. The only team he can see beating the Patriots is the Packers.
Okay, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Why?
Well, first of all, the Bills already beat them, so you'd have to say you could see the Bills beating them again.
I no longer have anything to say after Andy goes.
Second of all, if you don't think the Saints would beat them, you're out of your mind. We had this discussion basically upstairs, Fred. I think they could beat anybody on their schedule the rest of the way. I think 90% of the teams on the schedule could beat them. That's how bad this defense is. And anytime you go into a game where we could beat them, but they could beat us, you're going to lose and you're going to have some of those, whatever the percentage is, 70-30. In the old days, you assumed they were going to win every week. And that's how you do your best job to get to a 14 or 15 win record.
Depending on how Flacco is playing when the Patriots, if they ever get to play the Ravens, they'd be the only team in the AFC I'm a scared of.
But there's a difference between a scared and think they could beat.
No, absolutely. Any team can beat the Patriots.
Could Houston beat the Patriots? Could Dallas beat the Patriots?
No doubt.
Could Pittsburgh on a good day just hit things right?
Not this year.
Oh, I think so.
Not this year.
If Mendenhall runs and Mike Wallace is running behind
Put it back in your pants. They can't beat the Patriots this year.
Can't? No. I didn't say will.
Get out of your mind.
Can't.
Can't beat the Patriots. The Falcons can't beat the Patriots.
No, they can.
Lions.
But they're not on the schedule.
Lions.
See, I don't think the Falcons.
They're not on the schedule.
Lions.
They're not on the schedule.
Well, neither are the Packers, so this whole question started with a not on the schedule idea.
I said no one in the AFC scares me.
I want to remind you.
Except maybe the Ravens.
Depending on how Flacco was playing at the time.
The Tuesday after the Pittsburgh game, I don't want to hear you tell me what a great win it was then.
Like, because you think they're going to lose that game?
No.
You don't think
you
there's,
don't
a,
think
chance
there's a chance that they could lose
Steelers
it.
Could win.
So I don't want to hear what a great win it is.
I don't care how they win or lose. I mean, how they win the game. They're going to win the game.
I don't care how they win or lose.
So I don't want you to tell me it was a good win then.
Every win's a good win in the NFL.
No, not ones that you have 100% chance of winning.
Every win's a good win.
Not when it's 100% chance of winning.
Okay.
Paul, do you agree with me that the
beating the Colts will not be a good win?
The 1-3 Eagles would also be a scary matchup, even though they're not playing well. And
I would be.
They have enough playmakers that I'd be scared to death.
Matter of fact, I was thinking about that as I was driving in today. I would be looking at that as too bad we didn't get them now, because they're a mess. The Eagles are a mess right now, and there's too much talent there for them to be a mess all year now.
And Mike Vick back again, by the way. Another week, another being a douche. Good to see he's really changed and become such a good guy.
And the other thing is, the teams that are really struggling right now are teams that are having a hard time protecting their quarterbacks. Well, is that maybe not that big of an issue against the Patriots as it is against some other teams? Now,
I don't care about struggling.
Pepper Johnson talked today and saying how he thinks his defensive line has been solid.
Let me guess, they're close.
He's ignoring stats. I know we've affected a lot of quarterbacks' throws. I got to be honest with you. I don't think they've affected more than five throws in four games.
Thought he was going to swear there.
I don't think they've affected more than five throws in four games.
It's possible.
They haven't been anywhere near quarterbacks.
No, they're close, Condre Carter says.
Now, maybe it's by design. This past week, I'll give them a complete pass in terms of pass rush, because to me, they were playing run this week. And that's what you have to do. You're back to your old, run fits and two-gap principles and all that stuff. Mentally, they needed to stop Darren McFadden this week. And the fact that they didn't get a lot of heat on Jason Campbell doesn't bother me at all. But to say that they've affected a lot of quarterbacks' throws this year, I think is highly inaccurate.
No. You're right. Four or five throws. They've affected.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I said you're right.
I know you guys.
I said you're right, and he looked at me like
I didn't know what you meant. I thought you when you said 4 or 5, I thought you meant 45, and I'm like, wait, oh. I thought you were making fun of me.
Reminded me of one of those Poston brothers skits they used to have on the. What do you mean by you're right? What's that supposed to mean?
Right.
He's a warrior, Kellen Winslow. Remember?
Are they still even agents? Is he still Winslow's agent?
I believe they are.
Robin in Alaska says, "Dear PFW scribes." With Mayo rumored to be out for 5 to 8 weeks, isn't now the time for Lofa Tatupu to become a Patriot? He's not sitting at home. He's just sitting at home. Lofa must have more time, more to bring to the field than White, Terpinian, or Cunningham. Sure, the case can be made that Lofa doesn't know the system, but would that really be any different than the guys on the roster now? Excluding Wilfork and Mayo, the defense looks like their strings are being pulled by a spastic Muppet.
Oh,
wow.
And who's pulling the Muppet strings?
Right.
Because he's a Muppet, so it's a double string.
Lofa Tatupu, there must be something to that, because he would have been signed by now if he had anything.
It's physical, evidently. I mean, I don't pretend to know the ins and outs of Lofa Tatupu, but that's what all the those in the know say. It's just physically not ready to play.
Hayden writes in, now that Jerod Mayo's out for a while, who will step up and be the leader on defense, and will the defense in a whole step up and shut down the Jets?
No, they will not shut down the
Jets. Yeah, I don't think they'll shut down, but they'll step up.
They're going to step up. They're going to rally. Basically, Bill put a lot of Gary Guyton talk out
there
yesterday.
Yeah, it's got to be Guyton.
Well, Dane Fletcher, I think, will be in the mix. I love Dane Fletcher. Yeah, I like him more and more. Every time I see him, talk about him, read a tweet from him.
I like him
a lot,
too.
I have yet to see one thing where I said, I don't care for that with Dane Fletcher. He does every. He's Teddy Bruschi. He's the perfect Patriot.
He's an excellent tackler too. Excellent open field tackler. I think he's done a great job. And I talked. Remember, we talked about him in camp, and Bill talked about. I wondered. I thought he looked faster. You know, just like they improved his speed. And Bill just said,
maybe
no.
He's on the good stuff, like Welker.
Bill explained it that he's just that much more in tune with what they're doing.
So he reacts
that everything
faster.
Looks faster. Kind of like Chung last year when everybody was saying, geez, Chung looks so confident out there. He looks like he's moving to the ball so much faster than he did as a rookie. And he said he attributed that to being that much more comfortable with the system.
You know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so concerned about McCourty. Because when training camp started, McCourty looked like he just got it. Like he truly was a veteran leader on this team. You know, it looked like he could cover anybody, anywhere. You know, he was just that much better than everybody else in the field. And it just has not translated to the regular season. He just doesn't look like he did in camp. I don't know what's going on. It's not
well, his
like,
confidence is not high right now.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my
mind. And
it's
not like... You know, people say, oh, he's right there. He's not right there. It's like he's not.
You're
even...
in trouble when Fred Kirsch is ranting.
No, but when I see him running.
He's not right there. I don't want
to
hear it.
When I see him making up 5 yards while the ball's in the air with his back to the pass, that means something happened prior to that that just totally confused him.
So you're worried.
I'm very worried.
You should be.
Like I said, this is the guy. It was Wilfork, Mayo, and McCourty. I counted on going. These are the constants I figured. We know who they are. We're going to count on them.
Now you have one.
And well, yeah, now
Mayo's
you have
out,
one.
McCourty's not.
But, you know, with McCourty, like I said, if he had just made 50% of the plays so far this season, we would not be half as worried about the defense as we are.
That is true, but he hasn't.
I know.
Therefore,
we
should be worried.
Mike in Cambridge wanted to pass along some thoughts from Sunday. One, in a game in which we really needed him, I thought Brandon Spikes really stepped up. Oakland is one of the few teams that you really need a thumping linebacker against nowadays, and Spikes had his best game as a pro. The Jets are one of these teams, too, and hopefully Spikes can step up again in the absence of Mayo.
That's true. You need
two,
him to step up.
A lot has been said about the lack of pass rush, but I thought Andre Carter got close more than a few times on Sunday. Hopefully what he said last week about the D being close is true.
He also got held.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are being held a lot.
I don't know about that, but there was at least one play where it was even Paul admitted he was being held. And if
you
get Paul to admit that something is going against the Patriots, that's saying something.
That's exactly the opposite. I complain about every single call during the course of the game. That's my thing. Fred?
Right. Hates the refs.
Has the ref ever
generally, it's when they don't call a pass interference.
Has the ref ever made a good call in my mind?
The only people he hates more than fans are the refs.
I hate refs.
And where do the Patriots fall in there?
And then the league. The league is up there, too. The league officials, the suits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The league. I love the league.
Yeah.
I love the game.
No, you like the league.
The shield.
The suits.
Yeah, it's the shield. The shield. That's well put, Andy. It's the shield. It's the guys who, you know, the Greg Aiello's of the world. Not fond of that.
And finally,
yeah, he's
three.
He's not very likable.
Sean Ellis is so damn slow. I think Wilfork would beat him in a race. How can Cunningham be behind him on the depth chart? Thanks, guys. You have really helped me through junior year so far, and Eric is a bitch.
Fred has him pegged at a 10-4-40. Right? Isn't that what you said earlier? Jacoby Ford's coming. He runs a 4-3.
Well,
Ellis runs a 10-4.
I was using...
Oh, now you realize it sounds like you were saying that he's old and slow.
No, but I said compared to
Is he old and
Ford,
slow? Is he old and slow? Answer the question.
He's slow.
Yes.
And old.
Yes, that's accurate.
Is he worth $4 million?
Probably not.
No.
Okay, good.
No, but I thought he played.
Where
he
is
played
Fred,
fine.
And who is this man who's honest?
I thought he played fine on Sunday.
Yeah, I think he stinks.
I didn't say anything about his long-term viability. I thought on Sunday they tried to run at him and couldn't.
So he's Gerard Warren.
Yeah, he looked bad a couple plays in the open
that's
field.
That's fine.
But
I don't pay Gerard Warren
$4
million.
Right.
I didn't say that he's worth
$4
million.
He graded out very well.
I think he played a good game on Sunday is all
we
I
said.
We
got a $4 million receiver who can't play. We got a $4 million defensive end who can't play.
No, he graded out very well.
We cut two safeties making a combined $6 million, who you decided couldn't play so that the
Don't
guy had
the
an Notre
defensive
Dame
tackle
play.
That can't get on the field.
That's true.
Who I predict will be on the field
that's
against
great.
The Jets.
I predict he'll be
that's
on the
great.
Field Wednesday. I can't go any further than that because that's his M.O. right now is he'll practice.
David,
maybe he plays this week and he'll miss the next game.
David in Toronto says, hello, men of PFW and Andy.
Suck it, Dave.
My family will be heading down to Foxborough on Friday for the Jets game. I wanted to say we love you guys and appreciate all the entertainment you give us Pats fans every week. Fred, I hope you are in good spirits this week coming off a win, because we were all depressed last week with no positives to come out of that Buffalo game. I was at the Buffalo game wearing my Will Fork jersey with my brother and father. Too many Buffalonians think they're Super Bowl bound, and there is nothing like sweet justice to see Buffalo lose in comeback fashion to Andy Dalton. That was good to see. I was really starting to hate the Bills.
Well, I can always
wasn't
tell
it
when
last
you
week he said,
I don't hate the Bills.
Yeah, I hate them the least.
No, but all I'm the talk over the week, they really did.
In a week, he hated them.
He said, I'm glad for them.
Right. Yeah.
But not anymore.
Now he hates them.
Well, because they were starting to think that they were something.
Well, and you know what?
Post-game celebration.
You know what
the best,
you know what the best part is about how they lost? They got screwed.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they had a third down catch by Stevie Johnson that they ruled incomplete, or a fourth down catch, and they said he didn't catch it, and he did.
You got to be the Patriots to get those calls.
And that ended up, you know, I think allowing Cincinnati their last possession.
Good. David also says the Patriots played well in Oakland. They didn't allow the emotions to get the better of them, unlike another player on the field. They ran the ball well and got Ridley involved, which I have been screaming for. It seems like the defense took a step forward, but it still had its miscues. Here are the bad things I took out of the game. Mayo being down. Bad angles that Sergio Brown took. Makes me wonder if Merriweather was so bad. 4 to 5 broken plays that resulted.
Well, no. I'm on board with that. Merriweather's not as bad as Brown. Brown's worse.
No, but I'm just telling you, you asked me where I was getting all these Merriweather things. People saying how great Merriweather was.
But I agree that Merriweather is better than Sergio Brown.
I agree that he's better than Sergio
God,
Brown,
I
too.
Hope so. When was the first-round draft pick?
So that's irrelevant.
Well, it is now,
that,
but
I agree
still
that he's better than Sergio Brown. I disagree that he looks any better to me now that Sergio Brown is playing. I saw him miss plenty of angles.
He's Sergio Brown, this game was worse than Merriweather ever was.
4 to 5 broken plays that resulted in a combined 150-plus yards, roughly, to at the end of the game. Ellis needs more speed or conditioning, because that one play where Oakland did the end around and Ellis was 1 foot from McFadden, that is our D in a nutshell, almost but not quite.
He's not getting faster at age 34.
I like many plays Ellis did, so don't get me wrong, but it seems like when a play goes bad, it's 20 yards for the other team and the Pats look too slow to react. It's been since last year's Baltimore game that I was in Foxborough really excited. I hope the Pats give us all an exciting game, and I wouldn't mind a blowout. I can't wait for a pint at CBS Scene Bar. That place is too cool when waiting for Sunday morning football game. As usual, F the Jets and go Pats.
It's cool because Fred designed it.
F the Jets.
I like that we didn't hear it the first time.
So now you hate all three opponents in the AFC East.
You know, I don't hate Miami that much. I kind of feel sorry for them.
Oh, because they're 0-4. Right. You're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Plus, not just that they're 0-4, they're a debacle. Because of the ownership, they're no threat to ever
challenge.
People
talk about
the Bills aren't going to be anything to write home about.
No.
The Bills will be lucky to go 8-8.
No, but they celebrated for a week, and only the Patriots can celebrate.
No, I know.
No, it's not the celebration.
They can only be.
We're going
only
to the Super Bowl.
Who said that we were going to the Super
the
Bowl?
The fans.
Oh, well. Yeah, I think you're bad fans if you don't think you're going
right
to the Super Bowl.
You leave people on rape, pillage, and just hand us the trophy now, but other fans can't say we're going to the Super
Every
Bowl.
Every Sunday, I make fun. We do our fantab.com thing on the pregame social, and I can't believe that we don't have more Patriots fans on there saying we're going to the Super Bowl. That's what fans are supposed to do.
No.
Yeah, but the defense stinks. We've created too many educated fans, Paul, that look beyond simply wins and losses.
Yeah, but educated fans aren't the people that do those things. They call this show.
He always has to take a shot at our listeners. It's amazing the pregame social isn't raging.
Wait a minute. Did you just hear what I said?
What?
I said educated fans aren't the ones that do those things online. Like
right.
Fantab.
Right.
They call the show. And he says, you can't help but take shot at our listeners. No, it's just the opposite. I'm saying our listeners are educated.
I thought you said the people that do those things
Fantab
call our show.
No, the people that call our show, they're the ones.
So we have the educated stupid fans.
Yeah. Well, they're all stupid in general. the larger subset, you know that.
By the way,
our fans are educated.
Eric
stupid.
Mangini has picked the Jets to win this week.
Good.
The rat.
I do think.
So they can jump out of the coach's box. Take that, Eric Mangini.
I'll tell you what my big fear is on this game. It has nothing to do with anything X's nose wise that we're probably going to talk about all week. Do they just circle the wagons and say, you know what, enough is enough. We got to do something. We got to, you know, and they play it like a playoff game.
will find it hard to believe they're going to lose three in a row.
Well, that's worrisome because they are going to be up for this
because
game.
They're an emotional team.
Yeah.
That is their strength. It's why they succeed in the postseason because they can conjure up that emotion on a couple of weeks in a row.
Don't underestimate the win that the Jets had last year here. I mean, they had lost 45-3 in the previous game.
Underestimated.
You know, they came back
of Paul's life.
In Gillette and just took it to the Patriots and really, really beat them in every facet of the game. And you got to hand it to the Jets for that. They, you know, Rex Ryan, you got to give him a lot of credit for that game.
But they were rolling to me more then than now. Right now, they are a debacle. There's a lot going on.
No, that's true.
They weren't rolling then.
No.
They came off that win, that blowout that we gave them on the Monday night, and they stumbled to the finish line.
Right. But I don't think it was like it is now. I don't think they believe in themselves right now. And that's a troublesome thing for a cocky team.
But they couldn't have possibly believed in themselves when they came here.
Oh, I think they did. I think they did.
Well, I think Ryan, whatever he did that week, got them ready.
I don't think right now they do. And that's a problem for a team.
Now, I will
say,
in defending you, Fred, when you were talking about the pass defense and all that stuff with the Jets defense played pretty well Sunday night. I don't know if you watched that game.
Oh, they were all over
Flacco. They didn't deserve – I mean, it's pretty clear. They get 21 points on defense. The Ravens scored 21 points on defense in that game. So that's don't look at the 34 and say, look at all these points the Jets are allowing.
No, it's,
so that, on that regard, you're right. The Jets defense didn't deserve what happened to it the other night. But at the same time, I don't think the defense is that good right now. I don't think they can stop the run right now, and that's dangerous. Now, the fourth quarter when the Ravens ran the ball down their throat, I think there was a little bit of, all right, this game's over, let's get out of here mentality for the Jets. To me, it all gets down. If Nick Mangold, I think Nick Mangold is a huge part of this game for the Jets. If he can't play, I think the Jets are in a lot of trouble because they are mix and match in that offensive line, and they don't have the answers. Now, if he comes back and he's okay, then I think that makes you look a lot better.
Alex from Philly says, nice bounce back game. It seems as though we can run the football. Ridley should start immediately. As long as we stay balanced and not depend 110% on Brady every week, this offense will be unstoppable. As for the defense, Mayo's injury is a huge concern because he is our only real linebacker. The rest are Jags. And, of course, the worst starting QB in the game today would throw for nearly 400 yards on us. I mean, Vince Wilfork has better coverage techniques than our secondary. Our secondary is pathetic. And I don't see a fix. All right, guys, keep up the good work and go Pats.
You think in the captain's meeting, McCourty says, can you stop picking off passes? You're really starting to make us look bad. Because that's been the punchline all week from everybody is the Wilfork thing. Put him in the secondary, the whole intercept, blah, blah, blah. He's not making his boys look too good.
Terry in D.C. says, any chance that Brady is injured from that cheap shot to the knee he took against San Diego in week two? Has he been walking okay to the locker room? Just curious,
yes.
Given your talk about him being off target the last couple of weeks. I don't think he was as much off target in
Buffalo.
In Buffalo.
No.
I mean, he was throwing some low passes and the throw to Gronkowski, he tried to fit in there.
I think he threw the throw to Gronkowski exactly where he wanted to.
He was
pretty sharp. He didn't take into account that the guy was going to make the play underneath.
Yeah, I think this game he was, as far as accuracy, a little off. You know, hard to say that with four interceptions, but those were kind of fluky, I thought. Steve says, and he's in Canton, Mass. He says, everyone assumes that when Mayo gets back, he'll just return to being Mayo again.
I wouldn't.
In 09, he had pretty much the same injury with his MCL, came back for the Denver game after 5 or 6 weeks. If you remember, he wasn't the same player the whole year. In fact, I remember some comments about the knee brace he had to wear, slowing him down, and I'm pretty sure he'll need a knee brace when he gets back. Should the Pats be looking for more help at inside linebacker? To me, the Guyton is a rotation guy. The more he plays, the worse he is.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And there's no question. We already talked about that with Mayo, that it's not just that the brace slowed him. He admitted he was hurt that whole year, that his knee didn't feel right. And that's a concern this year when he comes back, that it'll be.
Yeah, we don't know the severity.
I think it's safe to assume he'll be wearing a brace, right?
I would assume, yeah.
Lyndon from Colton, California. Big thanks goes out to Barry for doing an amazing job again organizing everything this weekend. Barry and Siong had a party up at the Go Club.
Did you go?
No. I had a meeting that I had to go
You're
to.
You're so full of it.
I met with a guy from Apple.
What guy from Apple?
So there you go.
Did you get us new iPhones?
Oh, it was about the new opportunity that you had. You're out now. It's just mine.
You know, good lies.
Good job, Fred.
It's in the details. He just said Apple because that was the first thing that popped in his head because the iPhone's coming out today.
Last year after Moss was traded, there was lots of talk about how Welker wouldn't be effective anymore and about how Moss made Welker. After what Welker has done to opposing defenses so far this year, I think Welker has thrown the Moss monkey off his back. I hope that Welker's dominance coupled with the ineffectiveness of Ocho Drapo, showing that they just can't just pick up anyone and plug them into the Pats offense, will convince the Pats that they need to do whatever they can to re-sign him. Was there a noticeable drop-off after Mayo was injured? If there was, I didn't see it. It sucks that he got hurt, but this may be a good opportunity to see what other guys can do. From the stands, it was hard to see everything, but the only play that I noticed, Mayo, was the one where he got run over by Bush. And he got leveled. Well,
he was kind of coming off the game, block.
And he was already in the end zone.
Yeah, but that wasn't really. It looked worse than I think it really was.
Right.
It wasn't like when Sergio Brown got stiff-armed by McFadden. That was hideous.
You guys talked about Ridley and Vereen quite a bit in the preseason, but I can't remember what your take was on each of these guys. Can you talk about what you thought their roles would be going into the season and how it's changed over the last 4 weeks?
Mine changed in the preseason. I'll admit that. As soon as we saw him on the practice field, I said, this guy's got far more wiggle than anyone's given him credit for. And we said he might be able to commit.
Which blew me off in the offseason.
What do you mean?
From that stuff that the coach told me.
No, I read that, but all coaches say their players are great until you see it with the eyeball test. But it was obvious immediately, you know, two practices in, that he was not a Sammy Morris. He had a little more to him than Sammy Morris. And that's what he was billed as coming in, Sammy Morris. The tweener guy, that big back, you know, might be able to fill the Morris role. He's got wiggle. He's got big playability.
I thought there was a chance that he would be sharing carries.
He's not a combo of Fred Taylor and Corey Dillon just yet.
No.
But
I thought he would be sharing carries with Benny by about the middle of the season, and that's where I think it's headed. I think it's going to be two guys that they're going to feature as their, you know, quote unquote every down backs. And I still think Vereen is behind Woodhead unless Woodhead is hurt as a third down back. So I didn't expect Vereen to get a ton of opportunities. But I love Vereen, too. Now, unfortunately, we just haven't seen him. The way what Andy just talked about with Ridley on the practice field, we never got that opportunity with Vereen because the one day he was out there, he pulled a hammy. And he did show some things. He looked quick. He
also looked good in the preseason finale.
Yeah, he was.
When he got a couple
he
carries.
He was darting around. He's real quick. But we just haven't seen it because he's been hurt.
He's got a stupid smirk on his face. No, so something funny
it does drive me crazy on the blog, though. You know, after Ridley starts having those runs, immediately people start saying, when are we going to see Vereen? And I said, you know, what's the rush? Why?
Because the next is always better.
No, I know. And it just frustrates me. It's like they have to prove that they know that there's another guy that hasn't played yet.
I'll take that step
Eric
further.
Eric wants Kevin Falk to play.
Yeah. I mean, Eric is infatuated with what they're going to do with Kevin Falk off PUP, not realizing that there's no room for Kevin Falk right now. But the thing, I'll take it a step further. That was Benny's best game of the season by far.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, it's time for Ridley. It's time for Ridley. And, you know, and listen, I love Ridley. I do. I want to see more of Ridley. But it just seemed like, hey, he averaged like almost 5 yards a carry in that
game. I swear to God, if Ocho Cinco had lit it up, they'd be going, well, what about Taylor Price?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's what they do. And they'll also go the
Luckily,
other way.
We'll never have to see that.
As soon as Ridley has his two fumbles in a game, they'll go the other way. I've seen enough of Ridley. Let's get Benny out there.
Right.
Well, then I could understand them saying with the Fred line, you
I
know.
Can't.
No, the Vereen thing.
Right.
You know, if Ridley gets out there and he's, you know, fumbles the ball a couple of times, where's Vereen? Why not him? You know, I could understand that. But I'm with you. On Sunday,
right,
there was no need to look for anybody else carrying the ball
right,
other than the two guys that were carrying it ridiculously effectively.
It's not like at receiver where Slater's getting reps.
Right.
And I should say, why isn't Price
Why is Taylor
playing?
Price out there?
Why is Price
Slater's
standing next
out?
To the coach saying, put me in, coach?
I thought Andy was going to cry when Price was active and Slater is running a go route. I thought Andy was going to cry. Matter of fact, did you at one point?
No.
Sorry.
Joel and Merrimack talking about best slot receivers. Wayne Krabet, Ricky Prohl, Ed McCaffrey, Brandon Stokely.
You're right. He's the best ever.
Bill Schrader, Marcus Colston, Wes Welker. You make the call.
How about Devon Bess?
Yeah. But I think, I mean, slot receiver isn't a new phenomenon, right?
I wouldn't put him in that category.
So I think we're missing some guys.
If those are literally the best slot receivers ever, then Welker's the best ever.
Right.
I don't even think
was
he's as good
as Fred Biletnikoff considered a slot receiver?
Yeah.
I think he got downfield a little bit. I do remember him catching some long passes.
How do you put that list together and not have Troy Brown on it? Or did I miss Troy Brown? Was I having one of my senior moments?
Troy Brown would be considered one. Yeah, sure. Okay.
I just think that a lot of those guys would look a lot better in this system. That's why I think that's the fundamental difference I have with you guys.
And speaking of, Ed says...
Troy Brown called?
Was Taylor Price used in the Raiders game?
Nope.
Is Taylor Price destined to be another
bingo.
Draft bust
bingo.
That Bill eventually
bingo.
Will cut next year? I also noticed the Patriots defenders are not playing as a team, but instead they look like a bunch of players all trying to play defense. They don't seem to work together anticipating plays, but instead each appears to be doing their own thing and always reacting. Have you seen the same? Is this a coaching problem? And if so, is a coaching change on the horizon?
Belichick's out?
Yeah.
What?
Look how
I was having one of my senior moments there. That one snapped me right out of it, though.
Look how improved the Titans are as opposed to last year with a new coach.
Yeah.
Well, it is a similar thing. Jeff Fisher, too long in one place.
I really don't want to go 14-2 again.
Let's see. Strippers has
how
some...
How did he phrase it? Is a coaching change in order?
Keep telling me I'm wrong with my thoughts.
Strippers has some super undercover Jets info.
Nice.
He said he asked the urine stream who will be on Revis Island. I asked Welker, and he direct messages me, stay tuned. So that's it, Strippers?
Fred.
You know, come on.
I was actually thinking about that. You think Rex will declare that this week?
No.
Sometimes he has.
No.
Really beautiful, see?
I think he does when it's obvious. I don't think he'll do it this week.
You don't think he'll just come out there and say, you know,
we're going to let Revis take Welker out of this game. We'll see how right. the rest of it matches up.
I could see him saying that.
I could, too. He won't.
Speaking in absolutes.
David writes in. He says, amazing work as always. Thank you. Pro
he was
football,
talking to me.
Pro Football Talk had a post a couple days ago about Aaron Curry possibly being on the trading block. Do you think Belichick would have any interest in trading with Pete for Curry and Mayo, with Mayo being down?
I don't know specifically. I was never a big Curry guy. I thought he was going to disappoint a little, and he has. He lost his job there. But he does play the Will spot. I mean, he's a fit in terms of losing Mayo. But would you gain anything trying to bring him in and teach him the scheme and get him up to speed in a month and get him out there and get value out of him? I don't know that there would be.
Would you do it not necessarily because of Mayo's situation, but because you think,
sure,
it's a talented player. I can get him, you know, maybe get him on the cheap
and, but bring, what
would
he
and trade for him.
What would he play?
Well, you work him in. You don't necessarily have to have something for him right now. That's what I'm saying. Not because of
Mayo. No, I mean long term.
I think that you can use him as an inside linebacker with Mayo next year in a 3-4 if they go back to a 3-4.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a suit for him. And I also, then you're just loading up on guys who can play next to Mayo, and you're not, I'm not sure you're that much further ahead.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily be loading up.
I don't know what that means.
I don't think all the guys that are on the team now will be on the team in the future.
Oh, well, that's fine. I just don't see the value in it. I don't think he's very good. I think he's just a guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen him play it down in the NFL, to be honest with you, so I don't really feel comfortable.
I think he's just one of those guys that
I wasn't
do
in love
anything
with his tape.
At an elite level, and those guys scare the hell out of me.
I don't know a ton about Curry. I wasn't in love with his tape.
No, he wasn't that good. He's a tweener.
He seemed like a great, like one of those great all-around guys. You know,
oh, yeah.
He seemed like he had, you know, the off-field resume that
he talk
about.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with him. But to me, when that guy's coming in, he either has to be a dominant run stuffer, that kind of a physical presence, or a dominant pass rusher. Good all-around football players seem like they get washed out a little at the next level. They just don't stand out.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But do you think you could maybe make that argument that that's what Mayo was?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't really dominant.
Some of us still make the argument that's what Mayo is.
Okay, see? You see? And this is, he spent the last hour and a half telling me how negative I was and how much I hate
just
everybody.
Because other people tell you that he's an all-pro and a great linebacker, I've still yet to see it.
Oh.
He's a very good player.
Fred, did you get that?
Yeah. He's a very good player.
Fred?
I did.
He's a very good player.
I rely on other people's opinions
of
players.
You do. Except for Wes Welker, who you anoint loose change.
Well, so you just blew up your own argument in 5 seconds.
For some reason, you hate Wes Welker. I don't know. He ran over your dog.
I don't know.
You hate dogs, too. Forget it. I know it wasn't a dog. Maybe he ran over your cat.
All right, I'll flip it. For some reason, he hates Jerod Mayo. I mean, everybody else thinks he's a good player.
No, I actually really like Jerod Mayo.
No, you hate him because you don't think he's as good as everybody else. That means you hate him.
No.
That's what you said about me.
I think everybody
else. I hate
else
Welker because I don't think Welker's as good as you do.
Too much stock in tackles.
And I think people put too much stock in receptions.
And yards.
Doesn't mean touchdowns. I hate him. Doesn't mean I hate him.
Yards.
Aaron at Sterling.
It does when you make the rules.
Paul's yards upset with Spike celebrating. Paul, you just don't get it. When you make a play, you should be excited. Hell, look at all the time.
Exactly. Make a play and then celebrate. Not a five-yard gain and celebrate.
You think it's easy to stop a guy once he's already got 5 yards and ahead of steam? Anyone could stop a guy behind the line of scrimmage when they don't have momentum.
Not anybody with a Patriots uniform.
Okay, so you're stepping on his lines here. He's being sarcastic.
He's being stupid.
No, he's being sarcastic.
He's being sarcastic, Paul. In parentheses, okay, so not anyone on this team, but you get what I mean.
But his point, his initial point was accurate. It was a good tackle because it's hard to stop a guy with 5 yards of
steam. Paul, you're getting very defensive. Let me finish the email. And besides, what else should he be saving that energy for? Red zone defense? Who needs it? The faster these teams score, the faster Tommy gets the ball back, and that's what the fans of the stadium really want. Pow!
That's what the commissioner wants.
Sarcastic Aaron.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
Sarcastic Aaron? Sarcastic Aaron. I apologize because you got all the way to the end of that and I still didn't think he was being sarcastic. But if he signed it Sarcastic Aaron, I apologize, Aaron.
Oh, God.
Because I think that
I feel like we should play a tampon ad right now.
Wow.
All right.
The gloves are off.
No, you're being very sensitive, Paul.
I'm not trying to be sensitive.
What's going on? Did he get you in a bad mood?
I didn't do anything.
Well, you did because you're being nasty.
All you've done for two hours is say how much I hate everything about the Patriots, and I'm sick of it. You're putting him in a bad mood. I didn't say he stinks. That's perfect, right?
They'll take him out of the lineup and not miss anything.
I didn't say that. This is why I'm getting upset.
He just
what did he say? Completely makes stuff up.
Somebody else will do the job.
He knows what he's doing.
And I said,
this is what you guys always do.
The bottom line offensively. I didn't say anybody would replace Welker the same production. I said the team.
Well, how are they going to be the same
offense? The team offense, because I think they would spread it around
to
other people.
Another way.
I'm not as concerned about the ball going to one guy as you are.
The fact that
I think
guy caught 25 passes in two games, you think can just be replaced.
But that's fine if you don't agree with it. You don't have to say that I hate him.
Well, I think you do.
I don't hate him.
I personally think you do.
That's strong. He doesn't.
That's my point.
As a player, you hate him.
I don't hate him. Oh, that's ridiculous.
You thought he stunk, and
that's
not
fair. That's just as ridiculous as me saying that you hate Gerard Mayo.
Andy, that's not fair.
And I know you don't hate Gerard Mayo.
Because I also said I thought Mayo in this defense would be defensive player of the year material. And you know what? I was wrong.
I know.
So now I'm thinking more and more that I should hate Gerard Mayo.
Why?
Because he's yet to do anything but make a tackle.
But he's still a good player.
He's London Fletcher.
You just don't think he's as good as a lot of other people.
People laud London Fletcher.
Exactly.
I love
don't,
him.
No. Because I generally think middle linebackers, if they don't have 125
tackles, obviously doesn't know what the word "lard" means.
Jags.
No, but
people love London Fletcher.
And I said, I know. I don't. I know what the word "lauds" means. That's why I said, I don't laud him. I don't love him. To me, if you play middle linebacker in the National Football League, you have 125 tackles. All you have to do is play 16 games.
I agree.
Bottom line.
You okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Am I wrong there?
Always do you, Kevin.
I think anybody they put in the middle of a defense, I think Brandon Spikes, they may not be great tackles, would have 100 tackles. I think, not Gary Guyton, he gets run over a little too often, but I think a lot of people can get 100 tackles
but the
in this
point,
league.
The point
but I'm,
here,
not,
Andy,
I'm not arguing with you on
you
your opinion
the
of the
subject,
player.
The
I didn't change any subject.
You throw things out like Paul hates X. And the people hear that and they think that's true.
But I personally believe he hates Wes Welker.
That's not a good way to argue.
He calls him loose change, Fred. Is that not?
I called him loose change 4.5 years ago.
And today.
Did not say that today. Just,
all right.
Like, just move on. Because no matter, I don't really understand how he can't figure out. I understand his analysis of Gerard Mayo as a player, but I don't think that he hates him. I can't have an analysis that goes counter with the conventional wisdom of Welker without hating him. Nothing could be further from the truth. He was ridiculously nice to my kids at his football camp. I have nothing but the utmost respect.
I was
for
joking
a 5 foot
personally.
Nothing guy.
I'm talking about as a player. You hate
I talk
him.
About everything.
You would get entire him package. No matter what.
There's nothing to hate about
you would
the guy.
Never keep
and it really
him on your
bothers
team.
Me that you keep saying I hate him.
You would never keep him on
of
your team.
Of course I would have him on my team.
No, you wouldn't.
I just don't
now
think
you're
he's...
being disingenuous.
See, this is unbelievable. Because
you
he could tell you.
You would take somebody with more physical
because
talent.
I don't think that he is an all pro.
No,
means I wouldn't want him on my team.
You would take somebody with more pure physical
talent. Well,
Calvin
Johnson.
No doubt in my mind.
Not for that role.
Yes, you would.
Not for that role, I wouldn't.
Okay. If we're not going to be honest, then we'll just move
on. All right.
On,
you know what? You're the arbiter of truth. You're the only one that can really
have my own views.
Mind.
Yes, I really am the only one who can have my own views.
You are it.
I don't really
you're
give that opportunity to other people
and say,
you speak for me in today's show.
I don't know how we got by. you know, without you, you know, before you got here, but you're the only one.
I am the only one who can speak for
me,
Hart.
Everything I say, Fred, isn't to be believed because I'm disingenuous and I'm a liar.
Welcome to my world.
Do you like Wes Welker or not?
I like him.
Okay, you like him.
I don't think he is an all-pro, best three receivers in football.
I'm sorry. I will stop taking your comments to have meaning.
Ugh.
You know what? You are such a pretentious douche sometimes.
Okay. Oh. I'm sorry. I take you at your word. I don't know when you're talking honestly or not.
No. Andy, that's not fair.
Why is it not fair?
It's not fair.
The way you described Gerard Mayo was the same thing. But I don't think you hate Gerard Mayo.
I think you wouldn't take him on your team. Yes, I would.
Of course
you would. But that's a different argument.
Just like I would take Welker on my team.
I don't think you
just
would.
Because
he just said he would.
Okay, he said he would.
Forget it.
Because I believe him when he says he would. Not when he said he stinks. He doesn't like him.
Just move on because I can't defend myself because he doesn't believe my defense.
You don't believe what he's saying, so he can't argue.
We have a fundamental difference. He thinks I'm a liar.
So we'll move on.
So we can't possibly do this. He thinks I lie.
Right.
So fine.
Josh in Waterloo, Iowa says, hello to the fresh ones in Subway Fresh Studios. Have you guys seen what Joe Namath has been saying about the current AFC team from New Jersey?
Yes.
Here are some quotes. I think these guys might be believing that they're better than they are, Namath said. And this week he said, we picked some poor players and we're not owning up to it. That's what it amounts to. You've got guys on the roster who have been picked.
Thanks, Joe. That's a huge compliment.
You know. Right. And you've got guys on the roster who have been picked, and you keep trying to say, okay, they're going to work out. Well, guess what? We tried that with Vernon Golston. It didn't work out. For Holmes as a captain to go outside to the media and start pointing fingers, I mean, he's right about the ball getting out late to him on Sanchez's third quarter interception, and he's right about the offensive line, but that can create a problem in the locker room. That divisiveness can bury a team. They've got to correct that right away. If Namath says these types of things when he is sober, do you think that fans would care anymore if Broadway starts tipping back a few too many and doesn't care about the steam struggling? He has been killing the team.
Yeah. Two weeks in a row.
And that does say something about Holmes. You don't do that.
No.
Especially as a captain.
That's a bad thing.
Well, those are appointed captains.
And this might be why this week they don't bounce back like they did last year against
the Patriots. A debacle. I think they are very close.
It's all about Mangold. If Mangold doesn't play, they're not going to bounce back because they're not going to be able to protect Sanchez.
Yep.
Even against the Patriots front that has been close, they'll get there this week.
Another person asking that Eldridge get banned from making calls. Okay.
I like Eldridge.
I like all our listeners.
I can't say that.
But Sean says, I think Eldridge and Tyrone actually are good callers. They just speak the truth about the defense. Pats fans that want to hear that everything will be okay are kidding themselves. You can't watch the defense and think it will be okay. If you want to hear what the defense is fine and everything will be okay, listen to the Pete Shepard show. He thinks everything will be okay no matter what.
It's true. Until he runs away after they lose and hides.
A lot of people, though, were calling for more crossovers because they thought that
was
fun.
Yeah, but we can't do that because there's a show in between.
Andy and I are coming back down here 2 hours after our show to do a crossover.
Plus, it would be like not a crossover.
Kind of disrespectful.
We're going to do a crossover. Maybe, we kick him out at the beginning from our show and kick him out at the end.
Maybe you can call in.
Paul, you could come down and visit, though.
Yeah, no.
No, I couldn't.
Marry the Jag.
We get rid of
Maine.
The paper.
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing else
I'll just do 6 hours, although my throat was a little sore the other day when we did that.
Mary the Jag from Maine writes, and she says, a nightmare has entered my thought process, and I'm hoping you can eliminate it from my brain. As the Bills stopped the 13-game winning streak, I think it was 15, is it possible the Jets can win at Foxborough, thereby ending the 28-game winning streak at home? Please talk me down.
In January, yes, I think they're going to
win. Love the show, and you are all hilarious, except when the arguments ensue.
Well, don't listen to the previous 20 minutes.
That's going to happen.
I think that's the funniest part. Right.
Wait a minute. By the way, just a quick back. Don't you think all our callers are good in that either they elicit whatever or they elicit sarcastic response? That's what this show is about, is people reacting to things that are said. So you need some bad ones. If everybody called in and sounded like freaking Adam Schefter filled with accurate information and football analysis, it would be boring as hell. No offense to the guys we're questioning. I'm not saying they don't sound like Adam Schefter.
I think Eldridge is, listen, we have enough callers that are over the top one way or the other. I like the callers. They take the time to do it. I like it.
Tiff writes in, I can't listen to the show if Fred is going to be negative. I am way too neurotic to deal with that. I will begin listening again when Fred is more supportive. At least I have the paper. I've pointed out some concerns, but I think Andy will attest, unless he thinks I'm lying, that, you know,
Paul's called you
I'm
a liar
pretty
in previous arguments.
I'm the one here saying that there ain't a team in the AFC I'm scared of. And that's all we need to do
Except
to get to the
Ravens
Super Bowl.
If Joe Flacco's playing well.
Yeah, that's all we need to do to get to the Super Bowl. Now, I do agree the Packers are better. I don't think we match up well against the Saints. And I think Detroit's defense scares the hell out of me.
But it's not just are you afraid of a team.
Yeah.
You have to beat three teams in a row to go to the Super Bowl.
There is no damn team in the AFC that they can't beat.
Three times in a row, though. I'm talking about the three in a row.
They don't have to beat the same team three times in a row.
I don't think there's any team in
the
league that they can't
beat.
And I think they can do that.
But my point is, I don't think there is a team that they can't beat. But right. But you always use this, you talk about things that I come up with, Andy. I don't think there's a team that I'm not afraid of. Well, I think there's five teams in the AFC that would say the same thing.
Right.
Do you think the Jets are afraid of teams?
Yeah, but they don't have Tom Brady and they don't have Bill
Do you think
Belichick.
San Diego's afraid of teams? Do you think Baltimore's afraid of teams?
I think San Diego should be
Those
afraid
teams
of
aren't
Patriots.
Afraid. Why?
Really resigned
because they
to...
tend to make a lot of mistakes against us.
Listen, whether they would beat them or not is a different story. Do you think they're afraid?
No, I don't think any team's afraid of any team.
Well, then,
But I'm not a team. I'm a fan.
If I'm a San Diego fan, I'm not afraid to play the Patriots.
Oh, yes, you are.
You don't think teams
fear? They don't even show up to the games. That game was blacked out this weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. According to one of our listeners on
the pregame social. Yeah, so they don't even go to...
You don't think teams circa even 2007, but certainly 03, 04, were afraid to play the Patriots? How many times did we read gambling things where picking against the team that just played the Patriots was smart business because they're so beat up and banged up.
Well, that's a different when I'm talking about.
You don't think they feared him? You don't think after they're blowing teams out 52-2
again?
They feared the Patriots again.
I'm talking as a fan. Okay, as a fan.
And in 2007,
I don't think any team is afraid to play the Patriots. I don't think
now. In 2007 they were, and in 2004 they were
afraid.
Yes,
afraid. Yes,
scared.
No.
They were scared, and they should have been. But this team is not to be feared. It's to be respected, but it's not to be feared.
Stripper says he's somebody has says or from the BH. What's the BH? Boston Herald, I guess. I've learned, I guess this must be
about Woodhead.
This must be Ian. I've learned that Woodhead escaped major damage on his ankle, and there is no broken bone or torn ligament. It's a sprain. It's not clear how bad it is or whether he'll miss Sunday's game against the Jets. The first day is always the worst, and I'm sure it's swollen, but the plan is for the Patriots to see how it responds to treatment and see how much better it gets. That's one reason why it has been so hard to pin down a timetable. It all depends on how the ankle reacts over the next few days. From the sound of it, it's a week-to-week thing, not a month-to-month thing. And for such a dynamic offensive player, that's good news. But so much of what happens over the course of the week will determine how much Woodhead plays or even practices.
That was a Paul Perillo update.
Yeah.
There was no information, and it had four
paragraphs. Am I wrong to, not be that concerned whether he plays or not in this game?
No.
Now that we've got Ridley.
And Vereen, but he hasn't been playing all that well. He hasn't been that big.
I think he's been effective.
He had a great first game and has been really, really quiet the next three.
Well, whatever the reason is, he's not like the guy that I'm,
No.
Sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for the injury report to come out.
Right.
If I could choose between he and Haynesworth, I'd choose Haynesworth for this game.
Well, I think both of those guys are in the same spot, but if I had to choose between them and Hernandez, I would want Hernandez on the line.
No doubt. But I'm assuming he's going to play. I'm assuming Hernandez is going to play.
But why?
Because of my gut feeling.
Okay.
Carry some weight around here. Also covers up certain other parts of his body.
He's far more impactful on the team than Albert Haynesworth.
Mike writes in, Stephen Ridley runs like his rear end is on fire, and he runs like he wants to be on the field. We definitely need more talent, but a few more guys like him would go a long way. F the Jets, educated in Maine, Fitzy. Okay?
Educated
in Maine. Does that mean you can hunt and fish? Woo-hoo. Let's see.
Rookie's here.
Rook's here.
Rookie.
Let's see. Beth writes in. Great job. My question for you is,
stop yelling at my husband.
Do they teach geometry in school anymore? I don't think they do anymore. Just look at the way the DBs and LBs have tried to tackle. They can't seem to find the correct angle to get anyone. It's not just the Pats. I've seen it in other games, but it is consistent. I follow the Patriots since 67-68, and this is a growing problem.
Your wife's a little older than I thought she was.
Insert anti-smart comment there.
It
has gotten worse over the past 2 to 3 years. That's actually Rich.
You said Beth.
Yeah, these people that write in from their woman's email address. I don't understand that. Get your own email address. You carry their pocketbook too?
Yeah, be a man.
Wow. I'm only kidding.
Wow. Be a man.
John Rooks here. I can hear you saying another Patriots first down all the way from Oakland.
Thank you.
Were you?
No.
Oh, you weren't? Did you watch the game?
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay.
Of course
did
I
did.
You watch that game? But you got to remember. I mean, yeah, did I watch the game?
We no, started out the show.
How does he nitpick without watching
the
game?
I know today's a nitpick Tuesday, but we started out our show.
We sharted to start the show.
We sharted out our show.
I may have actually. I'm going to check out our show.
I sharted.
No, that's okay. I don't want to know.
By asking one positive and one negative. What's yours?
Positive and a negative. Well, certainly, I think you'd have to say the positive continues to be the fact that a guy like Wes Welker puts on the Superman cape every week.
Hey, that's what I said in the paper.
The negative, wow.
I got a bunch.
Oh, where do I begin?
Wow. Another nuclear bomb Tuesday.
Got a bunch to choose from,
where
Fred.
Do I begin, Sis John?
You know, honestly, I expect to get some flack today because I'm the one that picked the Patriots to lose last week.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, so, line up, guys.
I expect to get some, I expect to get a comeuppance today. Okay. So I'm just kind of curious to know.
So what surprised
Kevin
you?
Kevin had a dream that they lost.
What do you think happened that you didn't think was going to happen?
I wasn't entirely certain that the Patriots defense would be able to hold off as much as they did. Last week, I said to these guys when they were filling in for me on Thursday, I said, what did I say, Paul? I think I said, I'm distracted today. Sorry. I believe I said that until the Patriots defense can show me that they can slow down a team, if not stop them enough, then I have every reason to believe they can't do it. Now, they were able to do that somewhat-ish on Sunday. I think, you know, 2 for 5 in the red zone is a step in the right direction. But
that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, that
was. And it helps when your quarterback thinks Patrick Chung plays for your team.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that was a major mistake on Oakland's part, and the defense played well enough, although there's still a lot of room for improvement. I think that was the big difference.
All right, well, John's there. He's ready to get his comeuppance. On the John Rooks Show, inside the Patriots playbook, of course.
Just bring it today.
At 4 o'clock is the Pete Shepherd Show, and Pete will be on. He'll be riding high today, so that'll be good.
It's victory.
All right, as far as us, we will see you tomorrow at noon. Thanks for listening.
Come to do the rest. Step in the way, multiple shots are going through the test. You must have gone past the truck as far as you was blessed. And I'ma take them out the game, y'all. It ain't no thing, y'all. You want a buck, I rip you up.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.